Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life, there's no surrender. There's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Shoulder to shoulder still with their ally, Israel.
And I'd like to start off, but of course, as I do every night, thanking everyone who's come to listen, whether it is from the Blog Talk Radio or through the Bard's Logic Political Site Talks website, which you can find a link to by going to the Blog Talk Radio homepage for this show, and just click on it, and that will send you to the Bard's Logic Political Talk website, in which on the Get Involved page, you can find a video to the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust with a button there, in which you could get a great Christmas present for one of your loved ones, in which for only $50, and that would be $50 a year, you can make a donation to the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust in one of their fostering programs, in which you can foster for a loved one, a baby elephant whose parents were killed by poachers in Africa. So as I said, that would make a great Christmas gift, and it's only $50 a year. And I believe what comes with that is a story of the baby elephant that you're helping, and also pictures and updates and things of that nature. So please go to the Bard's Logic Political Talk website and check it out. Also, as I said, thank you to the live listeners, whether Blog Talk Radio or the website, or if you're listening to other venues, or, of course, if you're listening to the archives, thank you very much for coming in tonight. And tonight's topic is, what do the Sudan, Egypt, Iran, and Israel all share? Now, what that would be, of course, is the long-range missiles that have been, of course, we hear of a ceasefire, but we also know of the missile attacks that's been going back and forth, and also a 9-mile border that they share. And some of the things we are going to cover tonight about the Sudan is Sudan's past, and that one is the Sudanese source told the BBC that the arms factory was believed to have been operated by the Iranians. Of course, there were indications that Iran was using this factory to stockpile weapons and possibly assemble them, the weapons and rockets. And two, we have the day after the factory was bombed, Hamas fired 79 rockets into Israel. Three, Israel was going after a supply line of rockets that, for the first time, was giving Hamas rockets that could reach Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. And four, there is a massive tunnel work that they used to smuggle weapons and rockets into Gaza. Here's some history. When Israel ended its occupation of Gaza in 2005, there were only primitive rockets being assembled there, with about a range of a mile. Of course, we all know this is definitely not the case any longer. And six, then in 2007, Hamas pushed the Fatah governing body out of the West Bank and took over the region when they created a more sophisticated military and started producing better weapons. And seven, the fall of Libya provided a massive cache of weapons that were smuggled into Gaza. And lastly, the tunnels from Egypt to Gaza are how weapons get into Gaza. And the Gaza conflict, it says, put crimp in the tunnels smuggling business. And at this time, we have two of the members of the Bard's Logic Political Talks panel, which I'm sure you have known over the time of hearing them on the show. And we have here Chris and also Kelly. Both of your mics are live, gentlemen. How are you? And to you and to yours and to the audience, may I put out that I hope everyone had a very happy Thanksgiving. Welcome, gentlemen.
Welcome. You must be talking about you, Kelly.
Hey.
Happy Thanksgiving, all.
Yes, thank you very much. As I said, please, everyone's went well. And, of course, today's Black Friday. Or they started it early here where I'm from. I don't know if they did in your areas, but they definitely started early tonight. I took a little bit of advantage of it. So,
really?
Not much. Well, you know, there's, of course, you know, you look at the deals and things of that nature, and there was an item that my daughter was telling me that some of the kids at school were not being very, very nice to her because she didn't have it, so I had to alleviate that situation. Yeah, kids can be so mean making fun of kids, so I had to alleviate that situation last night. So, but anyway, we're not here to talk about Black Friday, of course, you know, or any of those stories. But what is going on, or what has been going on, between Israel and Sudan? So, you know, Chris, if you'd like to chime in, so I know you've done some research on it, and of course, there's always more. And then, Kelly, you as well. So I will open up the floor to you, gentlemen. And then, of course, there is an article that I would like to, read some of it. That was actually back from December of 2011, so it's nearly a year old. But wow. Something that, you know, that someone that we've at least, you know, supported in some sense, Newt Gingrich, when he was running for president, on what his view, at least at that point, in, is showing to be possibly true today about Palestine. So, Chris, go ahead.
Couldn't have picked a more controversial subject to discuss on this Friday night, huh?
Well, you know, it's the day after Thanksgiving, and, you know, we're thankful that we live in a nation where we do not have missiles coming over and destroying our buildings and killing our
folks.
You
know what? You know what,
Israel doesn't have that luxury. Go ahead.
You know what? Maybe if we were under more pressure and more threat, that people would vote differently in this country.
Very, very good. Yeah. Well, we're not wishing harm on anyone for the detractors who might try to use that against us.
I
understand what you're saying.
All I'm saying is Americans have become a bunch of wussies. You know, the things that we look at on the news in awe and fear and trepidation about what's going on around the world, you know, we don't have that here. I mean, 9/11 was one of the biggest, you know, shock points, you know, and even though Pearl Harbor was a big deal, I mean, it was some island out in the Pacific, so it wasn't so felt, per se, as if, you know, 9/11 in New York City. And, you know, I just what the rest of the world goes through on a daily basis, I just don't think people in this country understand it, you know. We're at a point now figuring out who we can vote for that'll give us more versus, you know, the primary issues of life and death every day. I mean, we've changed a lot. But we have been in a lot of wars through the years. In fact, we seem like we're in wars all the time. And it looks like we're now I have an unconfirmed article. We were talking earlier. I know I've got a ton of articles on that document. That, and I was doing this research, and it was kind of funny because I've ignored this situation because I know it's one of those hotbed situations where you're never going to get the truth, you know, from anybody. I already know that, you know, Israel is typically demonized and a lot of facts are left out, you know, and so I just ignore it. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, whatever. You know, if we leave them alone, they can take care of themselves. They've proven that, you know, over and over and over again.
Time and time again, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know, there's some great army, great military, great intel. But what happened was somebody posted a video on my group, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'll watch it. You know, usually I just like stuff to show people that I've looked at it and be nice, but like I said, I've glossed over most of it. And so I watched the video, and I went, wow, okay, this is some very interesting stuff because it was things that are not portrayed in the media, because the media is, you know, is pro I don't know what the media is. They're flipping insane, you know. I mean but anyway, so you know, this video I watched, it started bringing up some points, some historical points, you know, and some timeline issues. And I went, oh, okay. So I watched another video, and then I, you know, took my notes, and then I spun off, and I went and searched out information, and that's where I came up with this Sudan thing and this factory. And if you go back prior, what was it, 89? Clinton bombed a factory in Sudan.
An aspirin factory.
He also bombed Afghanistan when they hit our embassy and killed all those people. So Sudan has always been kind of a fractured country. I don't know a lot about them, just enough to, you know, make a rough statement. But, you know, Iran, Egypt, everybody kind of uses them. But there's been multiple, you know, and you see it on that timeline, there's multiple events that have occurred around Sudan, including Israel going in and bombing some convoys that were bringing weapons and fighters in. Because, you know, they come up through Egypt and they go across that 90-mile border. And, you know, the subtitle to my document was, what do they share? They share a 90-mile border. And that's where all the tunnels are.
90 or 9?
Nine, sorry. And that's where all the tunnels are at. And you know, they smuggle weapons in and fighters. And because Israel in fact, here's what's really interesting. A lot of people don't know this, but Israel and Egypt both blockade Palestine because everybody was tired of the extremists, you know, keeping this ongoing conflict going on, including Egypt. Well, that's changed a little bit because you got, you know, that Muslim Brotherhood guy in there. But I don't think he's going to get too far behind them because we still have a lot of influence over Egypt, whether people want to believe it or not. In fact, he's got his hands full in Egypt right now with protests. You know, it looks just like it did when the last bad guy was in power. So he's trying to take over Egypt and implement Sharia law and a brand new constitution. And the other more moderate people are freaking out. And the pictures I saw, it looked like the same. It looked like it just looked like it did a couple years ago when we were watching the initial protest.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got
the
his
Arab
hands
Spring,
full.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's got his hands full there. So anyway, Israel has always said that, and Israel has one of the greatest. I want to say CIA, but spy networks in the world. They're really good at what they do. They're tiny. They don't have a lot of room for error, and so if they find anything that's bringing terrorists or weapons or missiles, you know, into Israel, they're going to stop it, and they don't have a problem, you know, telling people, oh, we're going to go get them, and I don't give a crap. You know, it's kind of like Bush said, you know, if it was Sudan and you're stockpiling weapons, they were concerned about these new missiles that now, you know, these long-range missiles with the Libya situation, all the missiles gone free. See, we don't have access to that information, so we can only speculate. But there's a whole new series of weapons that are starting to show up, and now all of a sudden they're not plinking, you know, slingshots, you know, across the border. They're starting to fire some weapons that are getting closer and closer to Tel Aviv and to Jerusalem. And Israel said, okay, enough. You know, they've known about it for a long time. Some of the interviews that I've seen, I was watching some stuff between the time you and I talked earlier and now, just trying to, you know, catch up and looking at some talk. And the Israeli guy was saying, we've known about this stuff for a long time. We just finally hit a point where we just acted. You know, we had to stop it because if not, they were going to start bombing they were going to hit our major population areas. So, you know, and of course, the news of the hour is, oh, Israeli started it.
Right.
They, you know, they said it all started when they killed that bad guy, you know, that extremist leader, you know. And I'm like going, no, it started when they lobbed 79 rockets at Israel. Come on. But, you know, facts don't count when you're selling a narrative. So it's all very interesting. But the thing that I heard, and like I said, I couldn't find a corroborating article was that the article that I saw said that Obama was going to help by putting boots on the ground on that border to stop that influx of terrorists and weapons. because, you know, the free-floating long-range missiles is a big issue, and Israel is not going to stand down. If you start hitting major population areas, they ain't going to stop.
No.
You know? And you can make all kinds of BS. I just watched a video where they had an Egyptian and an Arab guy and an Israeli guy, Al Jazeera, and they were interviewing all three of them. And it was really interesting just to watch, you know, to step back in a non-biased view and just listen to the narrative and the rhetoric and how things are said and who says what and whatever. And the Israeli guy was very simple. He goes, you fire rockets at us. We put up with it. We put up with it nonstop since Hamas took over. And we hit a critical mass, and we're going to do something about it. And if you hide in populated areas, which is typical for terrorists, you know, we have to do what we have to do. We're going to try to be as careful as possible. You know, they do announcements. They drop leaflets. They tell people, get out of there. You know, they hide in these populated areas. But, you know, they're lobbing rockets, 79 rockets out of this area. What do? Just go, well, that's okay because there's people around there. You've got to do something. And they do something, and then they get attacked for it in the media. And, you know, we've heard this crap for years and years and years. And I'm not taking sides. I'm just, you know, let's look at facts. So it will be interesting to see what evolves out of this Obama situation, if it was just a rumor or if it was real. But, you know, Obama's got, if they're going to do anything, they've got to get in there and they've got to stop this smuggling of these rockets, because Israel is not going to put up with it. You know, it's one thing to slingshot, but when you can reach 25, 30 miles with a much more dangerous rocket, stuff gets real at that point. Kelly?
Robert? Yeah, actually, I was just going to turn to, I'm reading a post here over on Facebook by someone we know well, and that's Rex. So I'm trying to get a see what he's saying here. So go ahead, Kelly, while I read on this.
I kind of favor the Hebrews because I come from a long line of Jewish hog farmers. A number of questions have popped into my head over this. Oh, somebody got that joke. I say that, people don't get it, but anyway.
Larry the Cable Guy was a hog farmer.
Was he a Jewish hog farmer, though? All right.
No.
Anyway, I absolutely believe in the right of a nation to defend themselves, of course. That's just kind of written in the laws of our heart and the laws of nature.
Natural law.
Yeah, the natural law, thank you. And so I have these questions that pop into my head. Well, was it a preemptive strike? Was it, did the Mossad, by the way, that's the name of their intelligence, I can go more into the Mossad. Mossad is the intelligence, kind of like our CIA. Of course, we have many intelligence gathering groups, the NSA, Secret Service, yada, yada, yada. That's because our government is filled with a lot of different similar departments that fall under the big umbrella of the Department of Redundancy Department. but the Hebrews, they don't have many people, relatively speaking. I was just looking it up on Wikipedia, and they only have like 1,200 in the Mossad, but that's an estimate. They may have double that. But their intelligence gathering is the best in the world. They told us about 9/11 before it happened. Other nations were coming forward. We didn't listen. So did they have enough intelligence that they declared it a preemptive strike? Well, let's take a step backward. You know, in the old days of war, the 1800s, you know, you got the muskets and cannons and eventually moved to repeating rifles, but he didn't have much in terms of missiles, per se. And so when you have a long-range situation where missiles could take out a city, maybe a preemptive strike is validated if the intelligence confirms this. Of course, you know, there's a lot of debate about why we went to war with Iraq. Weapons of mass destruction, yes, we do. No, we don't. You know, it's a long story. But did they have enough intelligence? These are the questions. Did they have enough intelligence? And since they reported the prime minister, did the prime minister make the direction that they begin this fight. Well, sure enough, what we've been finding out later is, yeah, of course, all these missiles went into Israel. And, of course, now they're finding this plot goes deeper, that indeed they've got a tunnel from Egypt to Gaza, that's where they're getting their weapons.
Thousand. Oh, yeah, incredible. I've seen videos of them.
They're basically sneaking them in, and, yeah. So, obviously, we're not in the 1800s, and people all over the world are still getting used to the idea of a preemptive strike. But it is all absolutely predicated upon the intelligence that would justify such an effect, which, you know, fortunate for the Hebrews, they're finding all sorts of, you know, the weapons in the tunnels and yada, yada. We were still struggling years later to find weapons of mass destruction. It's kind of egg on our face, but since we're the big guy in a block, we get away with it. The Hebrews are under enormous scrutiny, of course. And, what do you know, they proved it, that there was a very serious potential threat. So, I've got all sorts of questions. Obviously, I'm not in Israel. I'm on the left coast, just like Chris. And so there is yet more information to be coming forward. I want to paint another perspective after some more thoughts are brought forth by others. But there's some other, particularly for the Christian perspective. But that's for much later. But
sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's an interesting, the part I found was the, and I don't know if you had a chance to actually remember, I told you I had that document, and there's a lot on there. I mean, I was loading it, reading and loading, but that whole Sudan thing, nobody talks about that, but Sudan, like the headline of that particular article, let me get down to it. Let me go back to 2012 in overview in Sudan. The U.S. Embassy was attacked in Khartoum, and so there was an issue 9/15/12, and then October, Sudan blames Israel for Khartoum arms factory blast, and I have two articles on there. And, nobody proved who did it. Everybody assumes it was Israelis, that went in there, blew it up. And like you said, Mossad, is their intelligence is incredible. And, if it was then, well, obviously Hamas thought it was them because they launched 79 rockets the next day. Okay, so, Israel wasn't attacking Hamas. They were taking out weapons that could be used to, let's put it this way. You got one enemy in the Middle East, Israel. Where are the weapons going to be used? Let's just talk about common sense here. This is what they track every day in that little country. When that horn goes off, you have minutes, to protect yourself, these small, tiny countries like that, and vice versa. But basically, the next day, boom, they start firing rockets like crazy because they got mad because Israel, I'm going to say assume, Israel went in there, blew up that freaking warehouse full of missiles that could be used against them. And so they started firing rockets, and Israel said, okay, it's time to take out this network. And that's what they did. And, their goal was to take out the system, the network, to crash tunnels, all that kind of stuff. And here's the you want to talk about preemptive strike? They've known this information for a long time, so I don't think it was preemptive. I think they have a tremendous amount of tolerance. If I would have a hard time if I knew you were packing up, weapons and digging up tunnels and getting ready to attack me, I'd have a hard time waiting for you to fire the first shot at me.
That's true.
You know what I mean? I ask America, how would we respond if we heard? Well, I guess I got to be careful how I say that because we let illegals and Mexican army and drug cartel come across the border every day.
Right.
Well,
Chris, I wanted to reiterate a point that I was making, is that a preemptive strike might be very well justifiable when missiles are involved and the motives are clear. The rest of the problem comes to proving it to the world that our intelligence to justify a preemptive strike, our intelligence was solid. So, that's, the bottom line comes down to the missiles, the range of the missiles. It's pretty spooky. You might have to, in your own national defense, you may have to issue a preemptive strike. You just have to be ready to justify it to the world.
Yeah, well, it's kind of what we talked about in Iran, right? With a nuke.
Well, we know how how things can be with doing preemptive strikes and then, you know, trying to go back and prove it. I mean, look at over in Iraq, you know, for the Iraq war, when they're talking about having weapons of mass destruction, in which, you know, there's a part of me who believes that you know, Iraq, you know, did have, you know, some sort of, you know, weapons of mass destruction. But I believe that we were talking about it for so long, and what we're going to do is like, what, 16 months that we were talking about whether we were going to go into Iraq or not, gave them the opportunity to move those, I believe, they moved that weaponry to somewhere else, you know, to another country. That's what I think.
Yeah, you can move it, bury it, whatever.
It's not like they just automatically, you know, quickly went into Iraq. It was something that was discussed and debated, if you guys remember, you know, that was about 16 months that they talked about it.
Well, not just that, they voted on it, and the UN and a bunch of countries agreed on it and joined us.
Right.
The world was part of it, and then they turned on us.
Let me ask you a question, okay? Did we ever find weapons of mass destruction?
Destruction? Construction? No, we didn't.
In Iraq? Well, because they moved it. I'm saying they moved it out of the country. I'm not saying they moved it to another spot in Iraq. I believe that they moved it to another country, such as Syria.
Yeah. Well, that's
bottom
that
line
is
it's
speculation. Mm-hmm. What's that, Kelly?
Well, see, here's why I'm going with the whole Iraq. You got to have your intel that can be proven Israel did it. But in America, we did this, weapons of mass destruction, so we go and invade Iraq, blaming them for 9/11, yada, yada, yada. And pretty soon we get the Patriot Act. Pretty soon we get the NDAA.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty soon the people who have stocks in military-industrial conflict get extremely rich. There's this enormous amount of suspicion about Iraq. It's just really,
Well, I got one to tell you in a second.
I still got this bad feeling inside.
What? Well, I have this. I want to give you a little piece of information. A lot of people don't know this, but I mean, we went in there and kicked their butt and defeated the enemy in like a microsecond. And then we're there 10 years plus, right? And here's the thing, is I know people, literally, who were supposed to go and secure the Syrian border because Syria is where all the, you know, Syria is not a good group of people, right?
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
they fund terrorists and they move weapons and everything else. So we go into Iraq and we collect all the arms and weapons, and we stick them in a big depot, and they pay people for them because there's no economy, you know, and they seized them, and they had this weapons depot that was like 10 miles long. All right, you never hear that in the news, okay? But if you know people that were there, you do. But there was whole battalions that were supposed to go in, and their whole purpose was to secure that border. So after they cleaned it up, because they allowed the citizens to keep, you know, a certain number of small arms, rifle, you know, some ammunition, things like that. But they never secured the Syrian border. And then we fought terrorist activities for 10 years. How do you like that for a conspiracy? Kelly?
Wow. Well, see, there's a lot of things just ancillary to the whole scenario. You know, we're supposed to, if you want to go in and win, you do. But you don't do things like not securing the border. I mean, do they want the war to go this long? I'm sure everybody is.
Well, if the master plan, I mean, really, I read some stuff the other day, and I was looking at somebody who had a much clearer picture of the whole history of the Middle East and the changing, you know, tones in foreign policy and everything else. And you know, because obviously there's this whole series of get out the old dictators that we put in power and you know, let a whole new group of people take over. It's just like Libya. You know, a gentleman I read, he said that Libya, we backed the bad guys to get out the bad guy that we put in power, and now we got the bad guys in there, so we got to go back in and fix it now. It's just an escalation of it's a continuum. It never ends. It's never going to flip and end in that place. I mean, those people are, I don't know how to explain it, but they're not like us, you know? I mean, they've been fighting for thousands of years, and they will fight until the world ends, you know? They fight over offenses. They have a whole different cultural, you know, religious cultural foundation, and you know, you talk about the different fractions of the Muslim sect, and they hate each other. But when they have a common enemy, they love each other. And then as soon as the common enemy is defeated, then they're killing each other again. And it's been going on for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ask yourself this question. If there wasn't oil in the Middle East, would we be messing around over there? I mean,
That's a good question.
God.
Well, when it comes to the Middle East period, are you talking about when it comes to what? You mean the Middle East period, or are you including, you know, with Israel?
You know, maybe with some companies would be over there. Well, yeah.
Well, do you believe the United States government would still be supporting Israel, regardless of whether there's oil there or not?
Sure.
Or do you think it's only because of the oil interests? Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, but you see, you got to understand something, too. You want to go back, let me just run this out, and then I'll stop. You've got to look at the history of that region around Israel. Okay, it goes back. Now, everybody gets in this argument about who was there. Okay, first of all, we know for a fact that, you know, 1,500 years ago, around that era, or 1,500 B.C. or B.C.E., politically correct.
Wait a minute. We're not politically correct on the show, so
okay,
we can stick. There you go. We can do B.C. and A.D. on Bard's Logic.
Oh, right on. Thank God. Okay,
yeah, I don't
do that
BCE stuff.
But, you know, you had King Solomon built the temple and built that area. Okay, so, you've got even pre that. You've got all the way back to the formation of the tribes of Israel. So they were there a long time ago. There were other peoples there a long time ago. There was also people there that came and disappeared off the face of the earth. You know, they found archaeological evidence. That's an old region. You know, we've got stuff going back 5,000-6,000 years, okay, and not to get into too much detail, and don't quote me on exact times here, but, you know, there's been a lot of people there, but there is no doubt the Israelis were there a long time ago. They got run out, and they came back, and prior to British interference in the Middle East, and then us taking over, the Israelis, the Arabs, the Syrians, all those groups of people, you know, and a lot of people don't understand, but they're not just all Arabs. There's a whole mixture of people because you're getting up north a little bit there. You know what I'm saying? So there's it's on my page there. I just don't want to go searching for it while I'm talking, but I'll come back later and say it. But they actually did pretty good together. You know, they actually lived together. They actually lived in regions together. They practiced their separate religions together. It wasn't until Western influences got their bloody paws on all this that it started going to hell in a handbasket. And you got to look at the history of that, the formation. If you go back to, you know, you've got to go back far enough and then come forward, and you start to get a picture of, it goes back to something I've said on these shows before, what the hell are we doing? Half these terrorist organizations, we funded and trained them. You know, the Nazis had their part in some of this stuff. You know, you have Britain in there manipulating everything. We run Britain out of the world, you know, out of the world theater, take over the world global money market and control the world and run our empire. And then we start playing people like puppets and prop up dictators who become our enemies. And then we create a new friend who becomes our enemy. And it just never ends, you know, and that's the question. You know, and what's really amazing is what do we get? Less than 25% of our oil? I mean, most of the oil that comes out of the Middle East doesn't even come here, you know, when it goes to our allies, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I wanted to kind of get back to the Hebrew situation.
Oh, sorry, I babbled.
Yeah, no, that's fine. The Mossad.
Got your tower there, Chris?
Go ahead, Kelly. Okay, well, the Mossad, this is from Wikipedia. The Mossad, short for Ha-Mossad al-Madud, means Institute for Intelligence and Special Operations. Oh, Special Ops. It is a national intelligence agency of Israel. The Mossad is responsible for intelligence collection, covert operations, and counterterrorism, as well as bringing Jews to Israel from countries where official allied agencies are forbidden, and protecting Jewish communities worldwide. It is one of the main entities of the Israeli intelligence community, along with Amman and Shin Bet internal security. But the Mossad directly reports to the Prime Minister, and they have a little emblem here of the Mossad. Of course, they got the Hebrew menorah, and they got Hebrew letters all around. And basically, the Mossad emblem is where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. That's the Book of Proverbs. They got to start in 49 as the Central Institute for Coordination, headquartered in Tel Aviv. They have around 1,200 employees. But that's estimated. They have conducted espionage. I'm just scrolling down the page here. We operate under a variety of covers, including diplomatic and unofficial. They have a plenum action and a liaison department. And they're allied with foreign intelligence services, i.e. CIA. Let's see. We go on from here. Some of their exploits, this is rather interesting because the Hebrews, they don't take any crap. When you got a small country and you're defending it amongst a bunch of enemies,
mm-hmm.
you've got to have good intelligence and you have to be in a position of, look, you hurt one of my guys, we're going to take out five of yours. You take out one of our planes, we're going to take out 10 of yours. We don't care. We are going to, we are resolute in defending our ground. In 1960, this is an Argentina situation, in 1960 the Mossad discovered that the Nazi leader Adolf Eichmann was in Argentina. A team of five Mossad agents slipped into Argentina and through surveillance confirmed they had been living there under the name of Ricardo Clement. He was abducted on May 11, 1960 and taken to a hideout. Eventually he was taken to Israel, tried and executed. Argentina protested that their sovereignty was violated to the UN. And I actually saw this on, I think it was YouTube, or I think it was Discovery, or no, I think it was Military
Channel. There was a movie made about it, too.
The Mossad took this Nazi war criminal, and they took him, and he killed his ass. They said, you're done. Mm-hmm. And they had enormous documentation. In the 90s, the Mossad, this is in the U.S., during the 90s, the Mossad discovered a Hezbollah agent operated within the United States in order to procure materials needed to manufacture EID and other weapons. In a joint operation with U.S. intelligence, the agent was kept under surveillance in hopes that he would betray more Hezbollah operatives. And he was eventually arrested. So you've obviously got Mossad, the FBI, CIA. You've got the British, what they call the MI5.
Bond, James Bond.
Yes. So I actually
watched a James Bond movie last night, but go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, Uruguay, Mossad assassinated Latin Nazi collaborator with the Robert Krukers in 1960. Anyway, there's several of these on Wikipedia. Killing this person, killing that person, a number of operations against PLOs, 79, 92. Ooh, here's one. This is a mind-blowing sentence. The Mossad in France, the Mossad killed Yahya el-Mossad, the head of the Iraq nuclear weapons program, in 1980. A number of, the Munich, you remember the Munich massacre with the Olympics?
Yep.
That was the sort of
Gideon group.
Yeah, but they were involved in the killing of Dr. Basil Al-Khabasi, who was involved in the Munich massacre. Germany, they did some more things. Greece, they killed this person. let's see, the killing of Italy, the killing of this person, thought to be a member of Black September, an undercover agent also, to lure nuclear whistleblower, blah, blah, blah. You just go down this thing, they'll come Malta, there's another. The Hebrews, they don't mess around. They're intelligent, they get on somebody, and man, if you're going to mess with their country, or even think about messing with your their country, they're going to kill you. They don't mess around.
They've been at the short end of the stick for a long time. You know, another little historical point a lot of people don't understand about, you know, the whole Zionist thing, because you get that on the internet a lot. The anti-Zionists. Well, Israelis had been moving back into Israel. Plus, there have been people there for a long time, including through the different empires, Muslim empires. Jews were there, and they all lived together. You know, they didn't live real good, under Muslim rule, but they were always there. And but what happened was, you know, Europe was really starting to get a nasty attitude towards the Jewish people. And then the Hitler thing went on. And what was amazing is none of the European countries would help. So England had to facilitate, and England stepped in and helped facilitate giving those people refuge in Israel, where they already had people. And it's amazing, though, because all the people are always criticizing Israel. None of them would help absorb any of the Jews that came out of Germany under that a-hole Hitler. You know, so they oh, no, we don't want them. 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 So England tied in with the UN and got approval and said, okay, well, hell, we're going to take them back to their homeland. I mean, you know, and now we bitch and complain now 7 days a week. You know.
Well, and you also have, you know, these, you know, the places like Egypt or Turkey or Syria or Libya, you know, if they want a Palestinian state, well, why don't they give up a portion of their lands to those people?
You know why? Because it's a lot easier. That whole conflict situation is perfect for them.
It's a proxy. Yep.
Oh, yeah, it's a world stage. It's a constant thorn in Israel and the U.S.'s hind end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, while they cry, oh, these poor people. Yeah, right. You know, give me a break.
Well,
you know what's amazing? Right. Let me throw this figure out for a bit. Go ahead.
I'm going to come back to this Gaza thing from a different perspective. So just, you know, go ahead and criticize the media for being empathetic for the civilians, but we'll come back to that.
Which part? Oh, no, that wasn't what I was going to throw out. I was going to throw out an important percentage for people to think about, and that is, you know, they talk about Israel is so unfair to the Arabs in that region. Okay, did you know that 20.6% of Israel's population are free Muslim Arabs inside Israel?
Is it 20 or 30%?
20.6%.
20.6%.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty good chunk of property. And when you look at, when you go into, if you know anybody that lives in Israel or has been to Israel, they're extremely accepting of all people. And it's, I mean, you've got all these different races of people, all these different religions. And what's amazing is, I would say they're probably more religiously tolerant than we are in this country, and yet nobody ever profiles that. What is it like to be a Muslim in Israel? You know, the fact that they're
it's
in government, they own businesses, they can live their lives, they can have their own political party, they can do all these wonderful things inside this wonderful democracy. What a very prosperous country with one of the highest. Longevity, you know, how long people live and health and, you know, all these wonderful things that this country, I mean, people would be amazed how many things are invented in Israel. It's an extremely creative environment. You know, Intel, come on, you know, Glock or Uzi. Anyway, but, you know, cool guns too, but you know, you look at the prosperity of that and the wealth and the per capita income and level of education, you know, how many doctors they have, people with doctor's degrees, the inventions they come up with, you know, the tsunami warning devices that saves people's lives around the world. Who invented it? Israelis. Okay, so when you look at the country, nobody profiles it. All they do is make them look like a bunch of evil Jews that hate Arab Muslims. And that I find amazing that they've been able to do that when the facts are not that way. Go ahead. Sorry, Kelly.
Well, the whole Hebrew history is beyond fascinating. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
It is beyond fascinating. They came out of Egypt, a million or two people. They littered all over. Archaeologists found their stuff in the desert. God says, here's your land. Notice you put boundaries around the Hebrews. Not like Alexander the Great or the Romans that just kept conquering. No. God says, here, this is your land. And if you follow my covenant, you will be prosperous. And sure enough, their prosperity rivaled that of the Greeks, especially under Solomon. And God says, hey, look, if you're going to be bad, I'm going to disperse you to all over the world. You don't even know who you are, some of you.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that. But then he also said, I'm getting to a point here, God also says, can a nation be born in a day? Yet I will do it. And in May of 1948, they got back their land, their language, their culture, and their religious heritage. This has never, ever happened in the history of the world where a nation, you know, nations meld into whatever conquered them, and they become a mix thereafter. It's like throw everybody into a cement mixer, and, you know, whatever you get, you get. You get concrete soup. It's just, that's the way it is. America were a great melting pot, but the Hebrews got back so much. This is unheard of in the history of mankind. And so you have these religious factions, of course. You got the Muslims that say, no, it's Allah. And Abraham was our father too, but no, it's Allah. You got the Hebrews saying, no, this is the God of the universe, and he's given us this land. Except they broke the covenant, and that contract expired.
Yep.
So this begs the question. Does Israel have the right to Gaza, or does it not? Well, they did settle in treaties and all this kind of stuff. But what kind of mindset are they working on? Are they working on a covenant, a contract with God that expired because they blew it? Or is it that they have somewhat of peace, a bit of peace with yet a strong military to defend themselves, and you've got the Muslims that want to wipe them off the face of the earth? What's going on in Gaza? Of course, the right to protect themselves, I agree with, based on good intel. Okay, fine. But how much of Gaza is theirs and how much is not? And I don't know the answer to that. Because the covenant is no longer... I'm saying this because a lot of Christians just blindly support Israel, no matter what Israel does. We have to carefully, very carefully, evaluate the situation and remind ourselves that they broke the covenant. They may not necessarily own that land right now. Yes, God did initiate. Yes, they brought back a nation from the dead. And yes, God gave them some land. But how much land? I can't answer that question.
Well, and I don't take the position. Yeah, and I agree with what you're saying. I don't take the position that I guess you know, you and I have talked about the 12 tribes of Israel and that whole region and stuff before, but there is a definite blind obedience in Christians to they're supposed to back Israel no matter what. And then when you get, because I'm on a lot of groups where they are very anti-Zionist, you know, you see that, you've seen, you know what I'm talking about. And I see some of these postings and stuff because they talk about, you know, it's just like people go, I don't get it. You know, the Christians are pro-Israel, pro-Jewish, you know,
mm-hmm.
they're the people of the book, you know, they're the, this whole thing, and then they vote for Democrats. You know, I mean, you know what I'm saying? And so people just go, you've got to be kidding me, you know? And so here's the thing that I think that people don't understand that I've seen and done a fair amount of research on is the difference between the Israeli religious people who have a passion for, you know, the people, the culture, the country, the religion, and the non-religious secular Jews, which is a whole different group of people. And that's where you get some of the conflict. And that's the part I think that as a Christian I have to sit back and go, you know, I'm not going to blindly follow any cultural belief, because I'm not into cultural belief. I'm into Scripture. You know, you get what I'm saying, Kelly? Okay, everybody's all sitting all, you know, it's like one of those. Go ahead.
I'm in agreement with you in the sense that we've got to be absolutely careful how we evaluate this. I mean, I go back to good and tell and the right to defend themselves, but how much land should they have? Well, look, God, when he established the nation of Israel, he said, here's your borders. That's it. How do we know that God is given Israel a blank check to go conquer whatever the heck they want in light of the fact that they have broke the covenant? So we have to be very careful.
I know what the folks want to chime in on this. Is that one of the things Israel is doing when they're talking about the Israeli occupation, okay, is Israel is protecting its borders, okay? Because if they let, you know, them come too far in, if they let their enemies come too far into the, you know, inside the lands, well, I'm not saying their lands, I'm saying the lands, and the reason that they're pushing outward is to create, what they've been trying to do is create buffer zones. Because, and then this is one of the things we've talked about in the description of the show tonight, and we could talk more about, is they've created now these buffer zones. Might be a moot point now that they have these longer range missiles. But what the Israelis have been doing by occupying these outer lands, okay, was to try to create buffer zones in which these short range missiles would not be able to reach places such as Jerusalem, places such as Tel Aviv, and these more population-dense areas, okay? That's why they've pushed out to try to protect themselves, you know, from these short-range missiles. Well, now, that's not, of course, as you know, we've pointed out here, is effective because of the long-range missiles that are coming out now. But that's, you know, people are like, oh, they're occupying, they're pushing out. Well, that's why they're pushing out. They're pushing out in defense of themselves.
Well, okay, but have you studied the war 1947-48 and all that era? They were way out, way, way, way out, because they got attacked by their enemies.
Mm-hmm.
Their enemies
right.
came from all sides, everybody, Egypt, you know,
right.
Syria. They
Syria.
All came out,
mm-hmm.
and Israel jumped up and said, whoa, sucker, and they went to war, and they got attacked, and they went to war, and they pushed out into the
right.
Sinai Peninsula, across those borders, and they were occupying seized land that they won in a war, and they turned around and gave it back.
Right.
You know what I mean? They turned around and said, okay, you attacked us, we defended ourselves, we lost, you know, untold lives, And now we're going to be the good guy and give you back your land. They already have done that. I don't know how many times they've done
that. Advantage
so
back.
I don't. So they could have kept it, and then you could say they're occupying. But occupying what? You know, they get. There are people who want Israel wiped off the face of the earth, which is amazing to me. Considering the fact that the Israelis are in the Quran, they are the people of the book. They believe, the Muslims believe, that the same, you know, the descendant races under God, Allah, in there. And you're like going, and then you got this group that isn't going to be happy until they're totally annihilated. That is not even in the damn Quran. And in the Quran, it says the Israelis will come back to their homeland. And nobody talks about this stuff. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say is that, you know, what would the United States do? What would we do as a people if there was, multiple nations, and they do exist, we know that, who would like to try to wipe us off the face of the planet? You know, how would we react? What would we do, you know, in that instance?
I don't know. We just launched two wars and a war on terrorism across the world, to the tunes of trillions of dollars, over one attack and 3,000 people.
Exactly.
In fact, let's go back to the Second World War. They hit Pearl Harbor, which was just a military base. So, yeah, we lost some people, but you know what I mean? That was the base. They didn't hit, you know, they hit the base to take our ships out, and we launched a war on three different frontiers, on three different theaters.
Right, and that's what I don't understand, you know, I mean, you understand, you hear about, and you've made it this point about the media. I'm going to chime in here and then go at Kelly, is that, you know, I've heard, oh, well, you know, the Israeli, supposedly they hit some civilian area or something like that, and some children were killed, you know. It's like, well, why does it sound like they ever mention when the Israeli children are killed, but if some Palestinian children get killed, they'll mention that, but they don't mention about the Israeli children, you know, that are being killed. You know, that's, you know, one thing. Two, when they talk about, oh, you know, kill, you know, civilians, you bring World War II, they talk about civilian casualties. I mean, when we were in World War II, I mean, we just carpet bombed nations. I mean, it didn't matter whether it was military installations or whether it was, you know, residential areas or whatever. I mean, just going across the nation, just bombing the hell out of them, you know?
Let me read you this. Okay. Pelosi believes that Israel exists by divine right, and that the Quran clearly states in Surah 5:21 that God granted the land of Israel to the children of Israel and ordered them to settle there. In addition, it is predicted that before the end days, God will bring the children of Israel to retake possession of the land, gathering them from the different countries of the nations. Surah 17:104, oddly enough, blah, blah, blah.
That's in the Quran?
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Go ahead, Kelly.
I guess people in the news can't read this stuff. Kelly?
Did we lose Kelly? Is he still there?
I'm still here. I'm just gathering several thoughts. But Israel has...
Well, we can only handle one at a time.
Well, I can barely walk and chew gum at the same time. All right. So, Israel has... given up an awful lot of land over time, and at the same time, oh, the Palestinian state. Well, wait a minute. Where's the surrounding nations giving up the land? It isn't happening. It's like for the Palestinians, the Hebrews have given up, you know, you take the area of the Palestinians, 90% of the land came from the Hebrews and like 10% from other nations. I'm guessing at these numbers, okay, I don't have all my fact sheet, and I'm not an expert on this, but I do know that other nations are just refusing to help Palestine. I was like, what's up with that? Something doesn't make sense here, but the media does spin it against Israel.
They help them with one thing, missiles.
On both sides?
Well, there's some talk of that. Yeah.
Go ahead. Keep talking. I'm going to do something for a couple of minutes.
Okay. Well, you mentioned something that was kind of, you know, I was going to hope to get some clarification when you said they help him in one thing, and someone said missiles. Do you want to elaborate on that, or who helps the...
Oh, that was me. I was being sarcastic.
Oh, okay.
These other nations, you know, Kelly made a very good point. Why are these other nations, why aren't they helping these people?
Oh, okay, yeah, they're giving them missiles, right.
Yeah, and I said they're giving them one thing, missiles.
Yeah, if you want to really help them, give them the land that you're crying, you know, telling Israel to give them.
Yeah. Well, I just love coming back to that point when you got, if Israel, because try being a Jew in a extremist controlled Muslim country, or a Christian. I mean, nobody talks about all the Christians being killed around the world. And if Israel was all Jewish and no Muslims, I could see having an argument over some of this stuff, but the fact that over 20% of their population are Muslims, practicing Muslims, it kind of makes it a difficult argument, considering everybody's saying, oh, they're so mean to the Palestinians. Well, the groups of people in there, when they had all these wars and civil wars and conflicts, when the Israelis first started reoccupying their homeland, okay, and they had these civil wars, there's people who fled and then came back into Israeli territory that were Arab Muslims and different Muslims, because it's a whole mixture of people in there. It's not all Arab. So I just find it interesting that nobody talks about this stuff. Because, like, if they kicked all the Arabs out and said, you can't live here, or you're going to be a slave if you live here, or we're going to treat you like crap, you know, like they would do to them if they were in their country, that would be mm-hmm. one argument. But
right,
the fact
right.
that there are people who choose to live there who are not Jewish and have the rights of assembly, to be in politics, to own businesses, to be, you know, to live their own religion and culture. And,
yeah,
and
they're not being killed just because they're Muslims, right?
I just find that to be an interesting point, you know, that nobody else seems to make. You know, and I'm just throwing out information, you know.
Well, I just wonder, why in the world do so many surrounding countries, they just, some of the top people there, others, a movement, if you will, they just want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Why? Is this way?
You're asking why do they want to
not,
go ahead?
It's not in the Quran. That's what. So, you know, if somebody has, you know, has made a decision that's actually contrary to their book. So, I don't know. Figure that one out. I mean, if you figure that one out, we could make $1 million.
And here's the thing. What I don't understand is if they go ahead and they nuke, you know, they're talking about Iran having a nuclear missile. Well, what would be besides, you know, literally wiping them off the space of the earth using nuclear weapons? If they were to nuke Israel, you know, to the point where they'd be non-existent, well, they wouldn't be able to move into the land anyway because it'd be irradiated for how many years? You know?
Yeah, but you're getting into the 12th of Mom stuff, though, and in wars And I mean, people, you know, only in America where everybody's secular humanist and thinks we're stupid for being Christians, we don't understand the power of influence of other people's religions on their people. Pretty tolerant
yeah.
country here. Extremely tolerant country here. You get around, you know, like I said, you know, they're wiping out people, Christians all over the place with this wonderful Muslim
right.
Spring. Who's reported on that? Nobody, because it's just the stupid Christians, and you know all them Christians clinging to their Bibles and their guns. You know, our world is upside down and sideways, and some of this stuff you can't logically explain it. You know, Kelly.
Maybe it has spiritual origins. I don't know.
Yep. It has some kind of origins.
Well, there's times where I've wondered if, you know, if what we see between the Christians and the Muslims is just not a continuation of a modern-day crusades.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, the crusades is a whole other
class
song.
Of civilizations. Hmm?
Well, but you got to understand. I mean, I got a buddy of mine that is an Arab study expert. There's a whole lot of difference between an Ethiopian Muslim and an Arab Muslim. You have cultural and religious dynamics there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at it, I mean, you look at an American Christian versus, you know, somebody from, you know, in another country in a totally different culture. Culture does play a part on religions.
Oh,
you
sure.
Know.
Well, we have yeah. differences in America and our different Christian religion, per se,
mm-hmm.
even within that sect. You know, you got the Baptists, the Presbyterians, the Methodists, et cetera, evangelicals. Oh, by the way, do you know why the Baptists don't believe in premarital sex?
Is this a joke, Kelly?
Well,
it sounds like a setup up to a joke, but go ahead.
Kelly's
I give it away so easy, I don't know. So why don't Baptists believe in premarital sex? It's because it leads to dancing.
Okay.
So the obvious is when you have differences, you know, even just Christian religions, differences in different Muslims, Arab thinking, this country, that country, what have you. Well, I think what really could be happening here is that the leaders at the top have their differences of opinions. You know, everybody's different. They think differently. I think other Robert, I don't think like Chris, but, you know, I'm teasing, of course. All right, but
you have these differences, and they rise to the top in leadership, be it spiritual leadership or be it political leadership, and kaboom, even amongst your same somewhat ideology, maybe I'm trying to validate what Chris said about his Arab studies friend. But how much of the Muslims hate the Hebrews? Obviously there's a lot of hate when you have a lot of missiles coming in into the Gaza area. I mean, something's going on there.
And that's another thing that's not taken into consideration. They're lobbing all those missiles over there, and I take into consideration the point that Chris brought up. If 20% of their population, approximately, is Muslim, and if you're just lobbing over missiles, you're going to be killing your own fellows.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, no, Robert.
You don't
understand. No, they don't. No. They're traitors. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well,
moderate Muslims and Muslims who
that's true
get along with other religions like they have for
a
long time.
Yeah, there's a term
traitors.
For that. Right.
Yeah, this whole new movement, this whole new group of radicals. And you know what's so hilarious about this? I don't know if you've ever seen, remember Ben Stein, the comedian, economist that comes on Fox once in a while that has been in movies?
Like this,
yeah, he's really funny. Well, he did a great documentary, and early Hitler had... had groups around him of people who learned their tactics, which then evolved into the modern terrorist tactics that we're dealing with today.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, Ben Stein had the killer movie, what was the name of it? Expelled.
Mm-hmm. That was it.
If you saw that, and he's like, well, why can't we talk about our faith, be it, Hebrew or a Christian in America? What's going on? And he went into the implications of Darwinism, of atheist, whatever they believe, and how it impacted the Nazis just to start killing people, citing that Charles Darwin said, the human race must help with natural selection. What breeder of a dog would take the runt and create litters from them.
Yep.
And that was some of the justifications of the Nazis, is just to kill people
and
create all these nasty, evil techniques that other parts of the world have created. I mean, his movie, Expelled, is just brilliantly done.
Yeah, it is. It's incredible. Yeah, and he actually the foundation of his movie, isn't that the one where he really, the thread to the whole movie was about the environmental movement?
Expelled was about the terrible persecution of anybody who mentioned God in public office.
Oh, okay.
Or,
that must have been his other movie then.
Well, yeah, he's done brilliant movies. I mean, I kind of knew him as a Visine guy for years, and then all of a sudden, all the Visine guys making movies. So,
well, an economist, right? That's what I'm known as.
I remember the first
economist.
Time I saw him on Fox. I'm going, what the hell is a comedian doing on Fox?
Right, but he's not a comedian. He's in part, I guess, was a comedian. But, yeah, mostly an economist, at least would that have him on.
Yeah, I just think it's all fascinating. I mean, this is the discussion of the ages, and there's a lot of passion on all sides of this issue. I'm just kind of a simple guy. I like to look at facts. History, put together questions of things that nobody else seems to talk about, like why didn't they mention, the Muslim population that lives peacefully in Israel, and how come that's never discussed when we discuss the evil Israelis who want to oppress
these
poor people?
Well, because it doesn't fit into their narrative.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I'll see – go ahead, Kelly.
I wanted to go on a little side note here about Egypt, tunnel to Gaza, yada, yada. Obama is like, we got to send Hillary Clinton. No, we got to ceasefire. Hooray. Pretending to be peaceful, Obama does, Yet, there's suspicions about what happened in Egypt and how the Muslim Brotherhood took over, and did Obama have a part in that, yada, yada.
Wow. Right, so, right.
You know, there's a lot of suspicion about that. Well, then you look at, of course, the Benghazi scenario, everybody, stand down, Marines. That's kind of spooky, and there's going to be heads rolling over that one. But,
well,
you know,
so.
Obama's trying to play this, I'm diplomatic, and it's like, are you kind of subtly subverting something? Well, actually, Egypt, in the scenario there, they have our Bradley, the M1 tanks, or what are those tanks? They're the monsters, the best tank in the world. Well, what happened is those tanks are now in the hands of the Muslim Brotherhood. Yeah, that's really good, isn't it, guys? Oh, that's right. Congressmen weren't reading the scriptures. The Old Testament, you know, I happen to believe in the Hebrew prophets. Right there. Is this right there? It's, I believe it's either Ezekiel or is it Zechariah? Some of the Old Testament prophets. Basically, Egypt is going to come up against Israel, and Egypt's going to get their butt kicked. And so, wait a minute. America wants to sell them tanks? Are you guys serious? If we really love Israel, you know, the Christians should support, and not, you know, in an affectionate way, but we're going to give Egypt, we're going to sell them our tanks that's going to be used against our ally?
Well, remember I told you I was doing some research and reading some guys who were kind of playing out the whole Middle East environment all the way out. And Newt was the only guy that had enough guts to say that we're looking at the wrong enemy all the way across the board in the Middle East. You know, he always had that statement, you know, we've got to become oil independent so no future president ever bows before a Saudi king. I mean, the Saudis...
Right.
Sponsored terrorism. The Saudis have terrible human rights issues. The Saudis have terrible abuses and human rights issues around women, and yet they're our buddies. And this guy was playing this whole thing out, saying, you know, and I often wondered when you sit back and look at a map, why Iraq? I mean, we knew why Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who knows Afghanistan's history knows nobody could ever conquer them because, I mean, look at it, man. It's a nasty territory.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that whole Middle East situation, you know, we have propped up dictators and regimes that are killing us financially and with bombs, you know, and airplanes flying into buildings.
Well, I remember there's a one point where folks are speculating that the reason why Bush Jr., he's not really a junior, but you know what I mean, that the younger Bush actually went after Saddam Hussein because Saddam Hussein, when Bush the senior was president, tried to have him assassinated, and this is kind of a, okay, I'm going to come get you because you try to get he tried to assassinate my father while he was president.
Well, do you know why George Bush Sr. Kuwait and then backed away?
Oh, yeah, and the Kuwait people thought that we were, you know, was it the folks over in Iraq or Kuwait thought that, you know, that they were going to stay or they were going to go into Iraq then? Didn't they think they were going to go into Iraq then after Kuwait and finish the job, but they never did? And so Bush was kind of finishing his father's job? Go ahead.
It's more simple than that. George Bush Sr. wanted a risk card.
Wanted a what?
A risk card. You ever played game Risk?
Oh, yes. I used to love that game, Risk. I used to. But I do see someone in the a caller in who we're gonna have let in. But when I do have new callers that I do not recognize the area code, I just have the two rules here on Bard's Logic. One, we don't have any profanity here, no F-bombs or GDs, anything of that nature, and just be polite to the host, the guests, and the audience. And so at this time, 720, I'm going to open up your mic. You can just tell us your name, where you hail from, and what's on your mind. So 720, thank you very much for coming to the show. What's on your mind?
Yes, how you doing, Mr. Colorado? I'm calling from Colorado.
Thank you.
And I was.
Can you name, sir?
Well, they called me Mr. Colorado.
Mr. Colorado, okay. Thank
well,
you very much for calling in.
Well, I'm calling concerned about what's going on there in Living West about the conservatives, how they feel about our president returning to the White House. And I think the conservative party need to grow up and take their loss like a man and stop trying to keep this country and stop trying to walk it over the bridge so it can go on them, and let's try to work together as a country and clear out what's going on, because they lost, people spoke, and I think they need to stop acting like girly men.
Okay,
I want to ask Mr. Colorado, I like your idea of coming together, you know, we got to move forward. What other things would you suggest?
Well, what I suggest, you know, we in half 4 years of this man being the president and everything he was trying to do that they was saying no to it. We always had presidents that's won, and both parties worked together. So I can understand that they couldn't do nothing with this president, but the people spoke, and now it's time for the conservative party to sit across the table and don't work for the man who made them sign that contract saying they don't, you know, because that sounds more like they pimp. Because if you're going to work for a guy who really ain't even got no position, and you putting him before the country, so they, to me, they sound like females who couldn't think for themselves. But now the country and spoke, and people want, you know, they want to see our government work and get things done, because we had 8 years of the losses with George Bush and Cheney, and then we had 4 more years that they couldn't get nothing done because they didn't want to work. Now we got 4 more years, and they starting this off on the same note, acting like they can't sit across the table and work. And to me, it's stupid, because the country is constantly losing. And if we're going to lose, how can we be the powerful country in charge of things and our government can't even sit across the table and talk to each other?
Okay. As I was going to say, and then go ahead, Chris. What I was going to say is for clarification. Okay, so let me say this for clarification. You mentioned the Conservative Party. That's one of the problems. The Republican Party, and that's who you're referring to, is the Republican Party, are not a conservative party. They're not the Conservative Party. That's the problem. That's the problem. They're not. They're just what they are is they are a party pretty much closely the same ideology as the Democrats. What has the Republicans not after? I mean, yeah, they bitch, whine, and moan, and complain. But what has the Republican Party not given into, especially under the quote unquote leadership of Boehner to Obama? What have they not given him that he's wanted?
Everything, okay, like the job bills Obama was trying to pass, that they was blocking that, and a lot of stuff that was in it, the Conservative Party was for it, but it seemed like everything what President Obama trying to do and try to, you know, pass to try to make the country, because see, the man, because before, like when he was swearing in, we were losing jobs by the thousand, and then when he got in, yes, we was losing, but we earned some jobs. He created more jobs in his 3 years than George Bush did in his whole 8 years. I mean, the country didn't go over cliff. Yes, he spent money. You got to spend money to make money. So he was just trying to get the country out of what George Bush and Cheney left it in. And for that party to decide that the Tea Party got in charge and everything that the man wanted to do, they left. That's why a lot of them lost their job, because the country ain't.
So what?
They want to see our government work. We don't want all this stupidity and ignorance, because they're making us the laughing stock of the world when they see we're supposed to be the greatest country in the world, and we can't even get nothing done over here in America.
Okay, well, and what kind of jobs did he create?
Who? Obama? Mm-hmm. What kind of jobs he created?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to just say it like
this.
I don't know what kind of job he created, but it came up to 5 million jobs. So you know what? If they were small business job, if they were magnum job, it's a job. If you can, because you know what? Look how many jobs we lost when we had 8 years of
government jobs.
Training.
What about government jobs?
So why do you even want to mention that? You guys ain't for government jobs. Y'all try to cut all that.
No, that's my point.
So don't
try
to break your front like you down with that. You ain't
that's
for that.
No, that's my point. Yes, he's created. Yeah,
all the government. Matter of fact, I'm gonna say we lost more government jobs under Obama once than any president we had. We lost more government jobs. The other jobs went up. The government jobs went down.
No, that's not true. I'm not gonna.
Yes,
that's not true. The government jobs.
You mentioned. No, government jobs went down, homeboy. That's truth, okay?
Okay. I'm not going to – I didn't shut your – or cut you off. I shut the mute on mic because I'm not going to have someone call me a homeboy on the show. You know, that's one of the part of the rules is we are going to respect the host. I'm the host, and, you know, let's keep it civil. We're not doing any name calling here. That's just something as part of the respect aspect that will not be tolerated. So at this time, Mr. Colorado, I will reopen your mic so if we can have a lively discussion and debate here, but we are not going to be using any kind of name calling. So I'll go ahead and reopen your mic. And at this point, well, you don't call me homeboy. I'm not a homeboy. My name's Robert. There you go. But Chris, I know there's something that you want to chime in on, so go ahead.
I don't know. He covered so many things so fast, it was hard to keep a focus on it. But
well, we were talking about jobs is where it left off.
Yeah, well, five million jobs is a joke. And to throw out numbers like 5 million jobs, and that's more than Bush did in 8 years. And you know, I'm a fact guy, so I like facts, not news rhetoric. You know.
Well,
Mr. Colorado, Chris.
I'm talking about legitimate numbers from Department of Labor numbers, not just, you know, he did this, he did that. Mr. Obama had 2 years of total control, and in the last 2 years, outside of a couple things, he's pretty much got everything he wanted out of the Republicans. And I don't like the Republicans either, so you're probably arguing with the wrong person. So. You know, they got his debt ceiling increase. I don't know what you call working together. I mean, what, another $5 trillion in debt? That would be working together.
Well, you know what? We're going to be in debt. The country going to be in debt because, see, when we had Reagan in the White House, he created and signed a lot of jobs overseas. Then we got Bush and Cheney. It wasn't about the war. It was about them trying to get together and make that thing like we were going over there. So whoop Hussein over that oil, but no, we were trying to take his oil, and we lost 5,000 soldiers behind the line. And then when Obama walked in, he walked in to be the country in the worst that it ever been. And all what he did, like this guy who just don't want to give him his props because he ain't did some. In your eyesight, he ain't did nothing. But in a lot of people, because you saw the people who was out there holding the American flag, they knew what Obama did. So about your one opinion don't even make a difference because we already know how you feel about him. You ain't going to never give him his comfort because that's some person between you and your God. But I know the man that did something good. I know the man created a job, and I know he won the best president we had. You ain't got to like him. I like him. So that's my opinion. You ain't got to like him. So what you feel about him, that's between you and your God. You can't knock me because I'm quite sure Reagan was your guy. I'm quite sure you liked everything what you think Reagan did, and he opened the border up, he raised taxes, he did everything what Obama didn't do. The whole time Obama was in the White House, he never raised taxes on nothing. He kept them just how they
were. Well, wait a minute.
Y'all won't get him
according to the – hold on.
Wait a second. Here's the part I'm confused about. What part of our talk tonight brought you to call this show?
Well, I just like to call you conservatives and piss y'all off.
Who says I'm a conservative?
Well, you sound like them. Don't perpetrate no front. You got their views.
What are you talking about? We were talking about Israel.
Well, I know you, even with Israel. Israel ain't doing it, but trying to put America into another war. That's what they trying to do. They want another war to kick off.
Hey, Colorado, I kind of like your honesty here. You're calling in to pee off conservatives. I think this is funny. You know, you're straightforward about that. I am not for another war. I am not for America getting into another war.
Let Kelly talk. Go ahead,
okay.
Kelly.
Yeah, this thing about Israel, I've been kind of careful. You know, we have to, you know, my position is simply if it's self-defense, yeah, understandable. You better have good intel if you're going to do a preemptive strike. But, you know, I don't like our military-industrial complex. I don't like that we've had endless wars and it's bankrupting the country. We got a lot of problems at home we're not taking care of.
Exactly. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, so and
yeah, that's why
you
I don't
know,
understand why you called in this store assuming that we were Republicans, because we're not. You're doing the whole left right attack syndrome, and I'm like going, we weren't even having this conversation.
Well, the first thing that I heard, you know, like when the guy was talking about what job Obama created,
We were not discussing Obama.
But you
weren't. We
were
not discussing.
Let me interject, gentlemen. I brought up, and you talked about me when I asked him about the question about jobs. As I was bringing the question back to you, because what we were talking about, factually. You know, you throw out, you know, always created, you know, 5 million jobs. I'm saying, well, what kind of jobs are created? Because if they're government jobs are created, that's not what's going to, you know, advance the economy, because that, you know, you need tax dollars in order to do that. We've already, or an insurmountable debt, in which Obama's contributed greatly to that. Now, of course, that's not, you know, that can be part of the discussion of what we're talking about tonight when we're talking about war. So what I'd like to do, Mr. Colorado, is, you know, if you want to remain on the line, that's great. But let's keep it on topic for what we're discussing tonight.
Well, we could talk
and
about
right now
Israel.
We're talking about the war, you know, we're talking about wars. But let me clarify one thing, is that this is one thing that I truly believe, is the Republican Party, and you're saying the conservative party, the Republican Party is not a conservative party. That's one. Two, is all the stuff you're saying about all of them blocking Obama, it's a smokescreen, because what Chris has said and what Kelly said is, in the end, Obama's gotten pretty much everything that he's wanted after the Republicans, try to make it look like they're trying to block Obama, but have they really blocked anything? What has they blocked that he's trying to do? And that could be a show for another night, and you'd be more than welcome to call in and talk about it when we're discussing that. But at this point, let's stay on topic when we're talking about the Middle East, Egypt, and Israel, and
well,
things
like
of that nature.
I'd like to talk about the Middle East, what I feel about that. What I feel about the Middle East, what's going on over there, like my neighbor, he's next door. I ain't against Israel or nothing like that, but a lot of stuff with Israel over there doing, they trying to me, how I see it, they trying to drag America into another war about doing what they doing over there, going on them people land, shooting them from 300 feet from on their land. And 'cause it ain't the army that's over there at war. It's the people like me and you who part of the country. They getting tired when every time somebody want to drop bombs, they go pick what area country they want to drop bombs on and start killing their leaders and all. And we bad by calling people terrorists. And when Americans did a lot of terrorist acts of our own, so we can't keep acting like we the bodyguard of the world, because we can't police the whole world. What we need to do, learn how to tend what's going on in America, and let's tend to America, because see, all sidewalks, all bridges, the train stations, the airport, everything in bad shape, because we too busy spending money trying to kick off wars and take care of other people who don't even give a hell about us. So this is how I look at it. Whatever them Arabs do in their country, that's their business. Let them do it. If they want to blow up each other, that's between them and their God. We need to get America back on track, but we could be like,
I'm just dying to ask you this question.
Go ahead, Kelly.
Have you seen Ron Paul's resignation speech in the House of Representatives? He said exactly what you're saying.
Yeah,
he said we should stop going to war.
I see Ron Paul, and I was liking when Ron Paul was telling them, look, we need to leave that alone over there. Them people been doing that for 2,000 years. That's how they live. We can't take what we believe over here in America and try to change other people's beliefs, because them people ain't going to – because who going to like – okay, let me ask you a question. Would you like you just wake up one morning and somebody just dropping bombs down on your women and kids and blowing them up? Maybe we just leave them people alone, let them blow up each other, let them do them. If that's what they want to do, we need to leave that alone, because – Russia was over there fighting in that country for all them years, and when they left, all they lost, what did they gain about fighting with that country? Nothing. What did we gain over there blowing up their leaders and all that? Nothing. They still going to do what they do, what America needs to do, stop trying to police the world, because if we were such a bad country and had the respect that we had, that man wouldn't been throwing shoes at George Bush's head the way he was when he was trying to knock George Bush straight to hell. when he was throwing them shoes at his head.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's the show is the juice that we lost. So if we such a bad country, why was that man trying to knock Bush straight to hell with some shoes?
Oh, we don't have any. We don't have any more. The president we have now doesn't have any more respect than anyone else. They play him lip service.
All the president, we need to stop leaving Abrams alone. Let them do them. All the presidents, not just Bush, Obama, all of them need to leave them alone.
Allow them to protect themselves. That's one of the things we're saying here, Mr. Colorado. We just say that the United States should allow Israel to, you know, take care of themselves if Israel feels, because that's one of the things they're trying to do is try to hold Israel back and try to warn away Israel from defending themselves. And that's something we don't agree with. We're not saying that we need to send soldiers over there to Israel. We're just saying that we need to just step back to let Israel take care of business, because they've already shown that they can take care of themselves. Go ahead, Kelly.
All them countries that they got over there on that part of the world, not one of them countries can whoop Israel. Israel got enough stuff over there to tear them to pieces over there. They don't need America. And if they want to protect themselves and they feel their life in danger, let Israel do this. We can't tell Israel how to keep them safe when we got to worry about keeping ourselves safe. So if Israel feel their life in danger, let them do Israel. Let Israel go there and whoop ass and talk about it later. Excuse my language.
Too bad. It's just F-bombs and GDs I don't like.
Okay.
Go ahead, man.
Well, hey, Tony, Colorado, have you been listening to our previous shows? Because we've had on...
I've listened to you guys' shows before, but my computer been down for a minute because I've been out of... But my neighbors, we went on blog talking about
the show. Thank you very much for listening to the other shows. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, what happens here is we got disgusted with the Republican Party, and we started bringing in Robert and Chris mostly did this, but we had libertarians on. Oh, by the way, I'm a registered libertarian. I can bash on both parties. But we had libertarians. We had Constitution Party. We had all sorts of different parties. I wrote in Ron Paul myself. But, we're tired of the Republican establishment. That's just kind of our stand.
Well, America showed the way they came after Obama this time, that they don't want to hear that stuff with the Republican, because the Republican against everybody. They're against gays. They're against straights. They're against blacks. They're against – when you listen to their debate, they didn't have nothing good to say about them. They're the only people paying taxes. Everybody leeching off them. Romer on TV talking about he ain't down with the 47% people. You know, that's half of the country. You know, so all that was coming out. They was on some cocky stuff, and it got blue in their face. People, because the people spoke. I don't care what they say about Obama, but he won, and he won big both times.
Well, he's got to be
doing something right.
Well, in my opinion, Obama won because there wasn't a clear alternative to Obama. I mean, Romney was not offering anything different than what Obama was offering.
To stop Obama. They spent over $300 million on ads and all them big high-power conservative brothers when they was coming out. They were trying everything but the kitchen sink to keep Obama out that way. But the people spoke. The people got tired of this splitting up this country. People ain't working together. They want to see a government work together. It's all about the Democrats or the Republicans. They want to see our government get our country back on track, but we can create jobs, but we can put job programs in school for kids can learn. We got the worst schools in the world now. We got the worst, the jobs are so low rate. So, we need to put America back on the map. And the only way we're going to do that, them parties got to come together and act like they love this country.
I'm gonna go a little bit off topic, but I don't want to do it long because we only have 20 minutes left of live. All these programs that Obama is talking about, I just want to do this briefly. How do you expect the United States, basically the people of the United States, through their taxes, to pay for it?
Them billions of dollars we pay. Can I answer the question? All that money we spending over there trying to police the world, billions and billions of dollars we spend over there in them countries, got our soldiers over there dying for lies. If we bring all that money back to America, invest it into our country, and stop trying to police the world and get our soldiers out of all these different countries because they're getting killed, post up in other people's countries, trying to protect people who don't care about us, and stop protecting what's going on in this country and spend that money over here, we will have the problem we have. But we spend a whole lot of money in the other country trying to police the world, and we don't need to spend that money on dumb stuff. Because
and that's not enough. And I mean, even cutting the military spending is not going to be enough,
man,
to do what needs to be done.
Huh?
I said only cutting military, and then Chris, I'm not saying that's not one thing that could be done. I'm not disagreeing with you there.
Let me say this. You talking about how it been happened. We've been paying for trade school for kids. We've been paying for this, for that. We've been doing this. But most of all money that I see is going for stupid wars. It's going for, they can raise $300 million to try to stop one man. So all this money that they put in, and all that money they put in trying to stop Obama, all that money Obama put in trying to stop Trump, it ain't even about the people no more.
Yeah, but that was a government.
The rich
well,
getting richer and the poor
was,
getting
but...
poor.
But that was donations and things of that nature that was spent for that. That wasn't really tax dollars. I'm talking about tax dollars. But Chris, I heard you want to chime in, so go ahead.
Well, the thing I was going to say, and I agree with you, we need to get out of the world's problems.
Oh, the last one.
Now, okay.
Tomorrow.
President Obama has. Am I talking? Can you hear me?
Yeah, good. I hear you.
Okay. All right. I thought maybe you couldn't hear me. All right. So
yeah,
Here's the thing. President Obama won. You got your victory. That's your president. That's the guy you wanted to win. Now you guys need to work on him to get him out of the next war he's taking us into, because I don't see him stopping wars.
And go ahead, Chris.
Well, how can – you know what? It ain't
well,
just
Mr.
that.
Wait a minute, Mr. Colorado. Hold on, gentlemen. I do see that we have someone else on the line. I'm going to keep everyone's mics open. If people could chime in, we'll try to get fair amounts of time. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to have 765 come in. If I just introduce yourself, tell us where you're hail from, what's on your mind. And then after him, we'll bring in Kelly. If you'd like to make some more comments, and then I do see 661. If you would like to chime in, just hit the one button on your phone dial, and that'll let me know that you want to chime into the conversation. We do only have 18 minutes left of live time. However, we can have up to about 59 minutes of recording time after the live portion, which if the conversation goes that way and the folks on the line still would like to continue the conversation, after that, then that's fine with me, especially since it is a Friday night. It's a special Friday night edition of Bard's Logic Political Talk. So at this point in time, without any further ado, 765, your mic is live. Thank you very much. What's on your mind?
This is Steve from Indianapolis. Fellas, how's it going?
Good. How are
Everybody?
You, Steve?
Oh, okay. Basically, Obama won a narrow margin. 500,000 more votes in the swing states, Romney would have won the electric and been in the presidency. There's 100 million people in poverty in the United States of America. This Obama loving has to come to a close. It's getting old, it's outdated, and it's ancient. We have poverty just exploding all around us. They talk about Obamacare. That is orthodox medicine. Big Pharma needed a bailout, and that's the form of a bailout. It's called Obamacare. The insurance companies needed a bailout. You look at Japan. They spend one-third per person what we spend on health care. They have a holistic system. Everybody's covered, universal, and they live longer than the average American. Orthodox medicine doesn't even work that well in the first place,
right.
Let alone trying
right.
to bankrupt this nation to fund orthodox Big Pharma medicine. When
yep.
we have seniors and people just eating unhealthy diets, not even exercising, stress just way out of control. And so, we should not bankrupt this nation. We have China signing 11 currency swap agreements with other nations,
yep.
which is going to devalue the American dollar. And
yep.
once you lose that status, you can't get it back. We have it's a socialist country, and you have the unions protest, and people want rights and benefits. Think 100 years ago, Henry Ford, $5 a day, he was world famous, paying the highest wages in the world. 100 years ago, that was equivalent to $2,200 a week was what he was paying his workers. But this is
wow.
He did that because they were paying no federal income taxes. They had no unions. They had small government. They had low regulations. That's the environment we need to come back to America. That is what is going to have us accomplish and achieve global competitive objectives. It's small, limited government. It's taking care of everybody. And talking about the schools, you could have one teacher per auditorium of school children. If these children are going home instead of playing Xbox, PlayStation, Twitter, or Facebook, they could make straight A's with one teacher per auditorium size of students. It's the parents and the children. Stop blaming it on the teacher is not there to raise your child. Teacher is there to teach. I'm
Did
so
it just
sick
happen when Obama became the president? It didn't happen on the George Bush watch. It didn't happen on the Reagan watch. So we didn't have all that when they was in office. It just happened since Obama been here. What you saying?
When he was digging, he made it deeper than what Bush made it. $6 trillion a day. $6 trillion
so
a day.
Let me finish real quick.
Gold is at $8.7 trillion. Gold does not create millions of jobs. We have the lowest small business creation in 30 years. People aren't starting new businesses. What they're doing, they're taking that money and going and buying gold. The worldwide value of gold is $8.7 trillion. You want to know why the global economy is suffering? Because people don't have faith. The president's running around talking about you didn't build that.
I know what he said about that speech about he didn't build that. See, that's that Fox News drama. See, Fox put that in your head. What was said about that you didn't build this. So don't push that lie with me. Push it to the people who want to hear that lie. Okay.
What about the 100 million in poverty? Come on now. What the president says affects the global markets. It affects confidence.
Well,
it's called uncertainty.
Man did more in his 3 years than all three of them presidents did.
He didn't. Reagan created 10 million jobs
in
4 years.
Bill Clinton. That's who created the.
That was a tech bubble. That was not Bill Clinton. That was a tech bubble. In 1995, you know who was coming to my community? Verizon with the cell phone. Bill Gates with Windows 95.
Right.
Sony PlayStation. That was a tech
bubble.
How
you feel? That's your opinion. That's who you are.
That was a tech bubble. That was not Bill Clinton. Without that tech bubble, that economy would have crashed.
Yeah, but Al Gore
because of NASA shipping jobs overseas.
The
Democrats keep saying, "Oh, the Democrats are for the poor, Republicans for the rich." Obamacare is going to make plenty of big pharma executives super rich.
You sound like Fox News.
Hold on, gentlemen. Okay, I'm going to interject here. you mentioned Fox News, phone news, whatever. I'm not a big fan of Fox News, no secret here on Bard's Logic, and neither is some other folks who come on here. And since in that nature of not liking Fox News, I'd appreciate we don't talk over other people like they do on Fox News, because that's definitely one thing I would not want
to
be.
I just hate people to get on it and just push that Fox News drama out and then try to care. When he said...
Okay,
he hasn't benefited the black community. I guarantee you that.
Well, when did Reagan benefit the black community? When did
Ten million jobs in four years.
He's president for the whole United States.
Reagan
ain't did nothing for the black community.
10 million
Bush
jobs
ain't
in
did
4 years.
For the black community. So why is you sound homie? Don't take it personal. You sound like you stuck on stupid, dude.
Dude,
wait a minute.
What the word of a job means. 10 million jobs in 4 years. Barack Obama did not do that. He was lucky to get half of that. He's terrible. He needs to be thrown out on his face. You understand what jobs mean? Jobs mean black employment. That's what jobs mean. Reagan did that for the black. He created 20 million jobs in 8 years. Why do you think gold is so high? Why do you think people are leaving this country? Why do you think the rich children are learning the Chinese language? Why do you think Russia and China are forming a currency together? If you add both economies, they're just as powerful as the United States of America. Why do you think the Russian economy has been growing the last 9 years? Because the leadership of this country, even Clinton was terrible too. Bush was terrible too. I'm not saying Bush is an angel and out of heaven Bush came and blessed everybody. Bush is not all that either. But Barack Obama, businesses have no confidence in him. See, that's the thing. Who wants to start a new business when the president's on TV talking about you didn't build that? It doesn't make any sense. Can somebody comment on my statement?
Sure,
I've been waiting to comment.
Oh, no, I will, but I've seen someone else on the line. They have not pushed the one button, but at 352, I see you there on hold. If you'd like to chime in at the letter point after Chris, and then Kelly, and then if 352, I see you just decided you want to chime in by pushing the one on your phone dial. We will be opening up your mic, but first it'll be Chris, and then we'll go to you, Kelly, if there's something you'd like to chime in. And then we'll bring in 352. Now, Mr. Colorado, you've interrupted some folks, so I did mute your mic, but I'm bringing it back on live. So let's be polite to the other people who are speaking, and one person's
all right,
off the time. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead, Chris.
Here's an important, Steve. I was waiting for you.
No name calling. You're stuck on stupid or anything. That's not being very, very nice. So let's go. Go ahead, Chris.
I thought it was funny. Anyway, but the thing, Steve, I was waiting for you to go to was the Fed and the fiat dollar. And this is the thing, that this whole left-right paradigm, because you sound more like a libertarian than you do a conservative, but this whole paradigm of the left-right is the biggest, stupidest thing I've ever seen perpetrated on the American people. They've got people fighting each other while both parties do the exact same thing, who borrow money, spend money on things that are unconstitutional. They do not follow the Constitution. They haven't followed the Constitution in a long time.
Thank you.
They have departments that they are not even legally supposed to be running, starting all these little sub-czars. I don't care where you want to go, because this is, to me, and this is so amazing to people who call in, that's kind of why I asked Mr. Colorado, why are you coming at me like I'm a Republican? Because I'm not a Republican. I don't like George Bush any more than I like Barack Obama. They have the exact same policies. They just have a different rhetoric and how they address their base. But when Obama's done in 4 years, he's going to do the exact same thing that Romney would have done. He's going to increase the debt. He's not going to cut a damn thing. He's going to continue these trade deals that are under both parties, whether it's Clinton or Bush. I can go down through every trade deal that's been done in the last 20, 30 years that has led our jobs overseas. It is, corporations are going to survive regardless if it's a liberal or a conservative in power. When government takes too much, corporations are going to do what it does best. It's going to cut the best deal and find a country that won't screw them. And that's what people don't understand.
You're 100% right.
Well, I agree with you, bro.
I am a libertarian.
But when you look at the Fed, when the Fed was enacted, they enacted the first 2% corporate tax rate in this country. 2%. I would pray to God for a chance to pay only 2% on my corporation.
But who's supposed to control the Fed?
What made Mr. Colorado
the Fed, international
when
bankers.
Bush Neal didn't do this. Doing the same thing.
I know they are, but I'm tired of all the Obama loving going on. That's getting on my nerves.
I like the Reagan. You can't tell me who to like.
Okay, hold on, gentlemen.
I'm throwing them all under the bus.
There you go. Kelly, if you'd like to chime in for...
It's like an Obama cult going on. I'm tired of that.
Hold on, guys. Guys, come on, hold on. I don't have to mute mics. I hate doing that, but I will if I have to. But go ahead, Kelly. Just give me a minute, and then I'm going to get 352. I know you've been on hold. We'll bring you on. If you could just spend about 1 minute, then we'll only have about 4 minutes of live time, but we can carry on with the discussion in recorded time, which it looks like we will be doing that tonight, and it'll run about 59 minutes after the live portion is over. And those that conversation will also be on the archives, so that the live people listen live can come back and listen to the recorded portion once the show goes archived. Go ahead, Kelly, in 352, you're next after him. Go ahead.
All right, so I figured out how to become the next president of the United States. Real simple. I changed my legal name to the Lesser of Two Evils. Everyone will vote for me. But I wanted to discuss with Colorado, maybe in overtime. I want to discuss with him. I'm sure he sees the bigger picture.
Colorado, back in town. Let me go.
All right. So the bigger picture, you know, for example, jobs, all right? SNAP and GASA were passed by both the Republicans and the Democrats. The NDAA, the Patriot Act, were passed by both Republicans and Democrats. We are seeing our liberties eroded. We are seeing our freedoms eroded. Our jobs getting shipped overseas. All sorts of problems. Endless yada, yada, yada. I want to talk with you in overtime just more, if you agree with these positions, that we've got a bigger picture problem. It's not just Democrat or Republicans. It's both.
And gentlemen, we are at the five-minute point, and 352, I still know you're in there. But since there is only 5 minutes left of the live time, I want to take this time to thank everyone who is coming tonight. Thank you all the guests who have called in and just making this a spectacular show tonight. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for calling in and contributing to the show. And also, I'd like to thank the people in chat for your contributions. And for those of those listening on the archives in the recording portion. And also, if folks like to go to the Bard's Logic Political Talk website, it's got a little bit of construction going on, but one thing you can go to on the Get Involved page is you will see a video there where there's a button that will take you to the Sheldrick Wildlife Trust, which has an orphanage for elephants, baby elephants, in Africa, which what they do is they save these little elephants from poachers who kill their parents. And for a great Christmas gift, only $50 a year, you can help sponsor one of these animals and help them out, and, you know, from their parents being, as I said, killed by poachers. So thank you, everyone. Have a great night. Thank you for coming in. Take care, and hope to see you again. And listen, as I said, to the rest of the archives that are recorded, for the people who are listening live, you will not have the benefit. But if you would like to call in to listen to the extended period, the call-in number is area code 347-945-7428. And if you try to call in after the next 3 minutes, unfortunately, you will not be able to get in. So at this time, go ahead, Kelly, and then I'm going to have 3-5 just take a couple minutes, and then I want to get 3-5-2 in before the time expires. So give 3-5-2 a couple minutes of live time. Go ahead.
Is Kelly or 3-5-2?
Yeah, well, I'm going to have 3-5-2 and then Kelly, okay? Because I looked at the clock, and I'm going to get him a couple live. So 3-5-2, if you just give your name, location, and what's on your mind?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, this is Harriet from Ocala.
Oh, hi, Harriet.
Hi. I'm just listening, and I'm enjoying the show, so I'm just going to move on. I'm going to let the next person have my time.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Harriet, for calling in tonight. I'll leave your mic live just in case you'd like to chime in. So go ahead, Kelly. You're welcome, Harriet. And then after Kelly, I know you had a direct question to Steve, and then go ahead, Steve, after Kelly. Thank you.
Absolutely.
I'm looking forward to overtime because I think Colorado, there's things that if we discuss, there is a bigger picture, and we can find areas to agree upon. I'm hearing, what's the word I'm looking for, certain influences in the media that have really hurt this country. But I'm looking forward to overtime with you.
Okay, great. We still got about a minute and a half left. So, Mr. Colorado, if you'd like. Well, first I said Steve. Steve, do you want to chime in on any of that? And then Mr. Colorado, you go ahead.
Yeah. See, I judge presidents by results, folks. I'm looking at the economy. I don't care what skin color you have. I don't care if you're 7 foot tall. I don't care if you have so many women chasing after you. We need an entire Marines to hold them back. I'm looking for results. I don't care. It could be Michael Jordan in the White House. If I'm not seeing improvements in the black community, I'm seeing 100 million poor people, crime exploding everywhere, I'm throwing them under the bus. I don't care. As far as Bush, I told you, Bush dug a grave. Obama's continuing the digging. And what's going on? I agree with the call about the Federal Reserve. Yes, I am a libertarian. I believe low taxes, low regulations, low government. That's why Henry Ford was paying his worker $5 a day 100 years ago, which was equivalent to $2,200 a week. So you have all this protest and everything going on, but at the same time, people don't understand. The big three things that's keeping this whole entire economy back is, A, number one, in the Federal Reserve. Number two, Big Pharma, orthodox medicine is holding this country back. And number three, defense spending. Those are the three big things. They're structural problems. Until you address the structural problems, this country is going to continue going on down the path. One little blip on your credit report, you have a 15% interest rate on an auto loan. We have predatory lending going on. We have the Dodd-Frank Act, which was terrible. Alan Greenspan said it's impossible to comply with that Dodd-Frank Act. You do one part of the law, another problem on a different side of the law pops up. It's impossible to comply with it, Alan Greenspan said. Want to know why banks are lending? Because the stupid Dodd-Frank Act. Thank you, Nancy Pelosi. You're such a genius. You're so smart. Come on. Oh, we have to pass it before we know what's in it.
That was ridiculous.
Some of the dumbest, retarded politicians in the world. Even my girlfriend can do better than Nancy. Okay? And so that's my comment. That's what I'm pissed off about.
Thank you very much. We can blast on politicians. We just don't blast on fellow callers. That's all. Yeah, go ahead. I believe
Colorado,
Mr. Colorado, and then Chris. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I just want to thank that brother just to let me know where he's standing, because he blamed Nancy for everything with all the government up there doing. So he's talking about he don't care what president in charge. But see, he cares because he's a conservative and he's down with people like that Tea Party crew who made the country look like they all stuck on stupid. So that's why he came down on Nancy, because a lot of stuff that went wrong in this country, it took place in the 20 years when we had Bush, Reagan, and Bush in the White House. So tell him he ain't got the perpetrate to kick it with some players, okay? Tell him let's keep the game real. We know you're conservative. That's why he don't like them type of people. And see, I voted for Reagan. But I know what did it. They all did it. I ain't going to just choose one side, but I'm not going to sit there. I like President Obama, and I know the hand that he was dealt with. So that stuff he talking about, tell him to take it back to Fox News, because anybody listening to Fox News, they stuck on stupid. And I'm going to let you guys have a great night. Peace out.
Take care. Thank you very much, Mr. Colorado, for calling in. I really appreciate it. You're welcome to call in again.
I would love to call back.
Sounds good. You have a good night.
You too.
Thank you. Take care. Okay, Chris, I know you said you'd like to chime in, and then we'll go to Kelly, and then we'll bring it back to you, Steve, okay? So go ahead. Good, Chris.
I want to expand a couple things that Steve has talked about. First of all, I know it hurts when you have more of a libertarian mindset and somebody calls you a conservative. Jeez, McGee. Anyway, okay, the key thing that you were talking about, Big Pharma, actually it's even a broader perspective than that, because I've been in a martial artist trainer my whole life, nutrition, whatever the case may be. I also had a son that had a cardiac arrest at 14 years old, wiped his brain out, and 7 months of comas and dealing with medical institutes. You're absolutely correct. I had friends that were in the pharmaceutical sales professionals, and, you know, I've had intimate talks with them about doctors don't go to school to learn how to heal anybody anymore. They go to school to learn how to do a matrix prescription program. You know, they go symptom, this drug, symptom, that drug, symptom, this drug. My son, who was in these long-term comas, until I got him in, you know, into a full medical team to where I could get him out of the emergency environment and actually get him into Children's Hospital, and then they, you know, put his team together, because everybody's a specialist, and then you have a physiatrist, a team leader. I went in the door with my son saying, I want to find out who's in charge, because I want to get these damn chemicals out of my son's system, because by the time he got out of the emergency ward, they had him on 6 or 7 different drugs, and all you got to do is buy a stupid nurse's drug guide and start reading some of the symptoms, and you start wondering where in the hell these people, how they could go to school for 12 years and not be able to read a nurse's manual on what drug symptoms, you know, what they do to you. And we got him off of about 90% of the drugs, and he snapped out of his coma. I mean, it's just amazing to me how our – I heard this one time. I thought it was so key, the difference between us, and you talk about Europe. And also, somebody made the comment earlier about this being a socialized country. European socialism is different than American socialism, because we have so many different fractions of people and so many different special interests here that everybody's got – politicians have got to pay off by giving them things. That is not how socialism in Europe works. My son was there for 8 years. I have friends from – have lived all over the world. And what they have – I don't agree with socialism, but what they have and what we have is different. That's why we can't afford – that's why we're going in the hole, is because we're so busy paying people special interests and corporations – that the system, I mean, socialism would be a European style would be a step up from the mess that we have right now. But here's the key on the medical thing, because you hit that point, and it's interesting. I don't hear many people talk about this. But in America, we live like shit. We don't eat right. We don't. I mean, look at these kids today. I see these young people, and I'm thinking, my God, you know, I cannot believe how out of shape they are, how unhealthy they are, obesity. And you look at it, we treat our bodies like hell, and then we spend all of our medical resources in the last 10 years of our life trying to stay alive. That's one of the biggest issues of what's broken in this country that's going to kill. Obamacare, it is impossible to make that work unless they start killing people. You know what I mean by you know, withholding care. And you know it's going to be your mom and your dad and your grandma, you know that they're going to do that to. People don't understand what Obamacare is. The government gives a – I don't. It's amazing to me how many people think that their president loves them and cares for them. What an insane concept. The government runs by actuary numbers. All these people who think Obamacare is going to save their life and be so wonderful for them, the first group of people are all these liberals that voted for him, because they're all getting into that age where they're going to need that massive medical care. And that actuary number is going to pop up and go, well, you got a case of cancer and you're no longer productive, so we're going to withhold care. They don't understand what's coming. But I just wanted to throw that out, because I think that's a tremendous conversation to have. When you talked about holistic medicine, you know, I had a physiatrist that I hired for my son that was from Switzerland. And it was amazing talking to this guy, the difference of medical care in that country compared to here. Yeah, we have the best surgeons, you know what I mean, and breakthrough medicines and things like that. But we have people, I mean, our care, you know, in terms of health of this country is terrible. Anyway, that was just my input on that.
Absolutely, absolutely, my brother. I agree. And what it is look at the nations like Andorra near Spain. They live to be 15 years older than the average American, spend a fraction on health care. You can't force people to take care of themselves. We don't need to do federal spending bankrupting our dollar, our nation. And when the dollar plunges, we lose 25% of our standard of living. If the dollar ceased to exist, then we have to buy the Chinese currency to do trade with them. We don't need to take risks with the dollars. For idiots and for seniors that don't take care of themselves, I see these seniors, they're eating Twinkies and ding-dongs. They're not taking
not
care
long.
Of themselves. And they're not taking care of themselves, just like you can't force a crackhead to stop being a crackhead. You cannot force – I'm not even trying to force a woman not to get an abortion. Because my thing is, that's between her and God on judgment day. That's had nothing to do with me. I am tired. See, Matt, this is what's holding us back. This is why car loans and home loans aren't getting paid off, because the interest the banks charge a hell of a lot of interest on these products, home and car loans, and because of taxes. If we weren't paying federal taxes like they were back in Henry Ford's day, I guarantee you'll see an economic boom, which the world has never seen. We pay our tax rates for people making 40 grand and up. It is just absolutely ridiculous. What's the point even being productive if the if you've got the government binding you in chains? Oh, more people need their benefits. And they're even dying. It's like orthodox medicine does not even benefit them. I don't care what you have the best doctors in the world, the best prescription drugs, whatever. If you're not taking care of yourself, go to Dr. Nancy Appleton. She wrote 141 reasons why sugar is ruining your health. What we need instead of this stupid food pyramid chart, we need a chart saying if you eat this amount of carbs, this is what you need to do to burn it off. But we don't have that. We have a stupid diet that says we need to eat a bunch of grains. Now the Wall Street Journal talking about gluten, and we got people eating a piece of bread, falling asleep. Man, this country is so fucked up, man. There's a bomb, you know, the cult. Obama's gonna do it. Get off. These people are so lost. It would take God himself. They probably wouldn't even listen to God himself trying to talk to them. That's how bad it is. And Obama's going to do it. Obama's going to fix it. Government loves you. No, if they loved you, they wouldn't even treat you the way they treat. They would tell you the truth, aliens or whatever is the truth, and just let you make your own decision from there. That's my comment. What do you think about my comment?
Real quick. I'm going to open things up for Kelly. You know, so he was going to be next, so I wanted to. See if there's any of that you want to chime in on. Kelly?
Yeah, right here.
There you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, Steve's been talking. I just wanted to give him my time. I just like hearing him.
No, okay. Well, then if you want to add something, go ahead. And
I want to expand. Can I expand on what he just said?
Sure. We still got plenty of time. We got about 40
minutes
left.
Wait. Hey, it's my turn.
Go ahead.
Giving my time to Steve to keep talking.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
I appreciate it. I always hear that. I might have to do a radio show about these problems, you know, because conservatives love when I talk, and especially since I'm a minority. I fight with liberals all day. And, guys, I'm telling you, people are just brain dead. The Democrats are for the poor. Okay, Obamacare benefits Big Pharma. That's the rich. They've been a bailout. But they're not going to sell it to you as a bailout for Big Pharma. Because, see, when people lose their jobs, they lose their insurance. That affects Big Pharma. They're getting less money because less people going to the doctor, less people getting medication because they got laid off or fired. So we have a new product. It's called Obamacare. Everybody gets to go now. So everybody, if you don't want to wait long lines, find a doctor that does not accept Medicaid patients, and you'll be good to go. That's all you have to do. There's going to be plenty of doctors not accepting Medicaid. That's who I'm going to, because I'm not waiting some dumb long line to get a physical. I'll get about one or two physicals a year, because we have teenagers. They don't give a damn about health care. They want to make a higher wage.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Obamacare, he loves you. No, he doesn't. He is out benefiting Wall Street. Think about the bailout situation.
Yeah.
The banks. Back in the day, if you look at the chart, back in the day before orthodox medicine and before the banks, we were a savings nation. The average citizen would save a lot of money. Average citizen would pay off debts very early. We've completely flipped it around. We went from being the biggest lender to now the biggest borrower. I mean, you know, and then they wonder why. It just doesn't make sense. Rush Limbaugh's right. It's hard to beat Santa Claus. And then when everything crashes, they're going to try to blame capitalism. We don't live in a capitalist country. That was Henry Ford 100 years ago. This is a socialist nation now. I'm sorry, folks. It's just now Europe may do things differently than what we do, like the caller mentioned earlier. So Europe's kind of different. But at the same time, you are paying such high taxes. Look at local, state, federal, county, township government. You add all that up with the $2 trillion in regulation compliance. Add all that up. Government is about two-thirds of the entire damn economy. What more do you need? That is bigger than Europe. A lot of people don't even know that. A lot of people don't add up all the local, state, federal regulations. add it all up, include inflation. Add that in there, too. We have the biggest government on the planet. And what was that communist leader said? High taxation is equivalent to communism. The Russian leader said high taxation is equivalent to communism. We damn near have it today. That's what we have
now.
Well,
the Fed. Fed is a form of tax, too.
Yeah, fellas, I'm pissed off because it's before 9/11, things were just, man, this entire country was totally different. We didn't hear race wasn't on TV every day. He's saying that because she's black. Ambassador Rice, if you're holding back information, I'm throwing you under the bus. It has nothing to do with race.
Yeah.
Before 9/11, this country was totally different. Bush, Obama, even Clinton, NAFTA, World Trade Organization. Bush was a liberal too. He was just a little more slick about it. And just because somebody had that southern
conservative, I think is a term they used.
Yeah. You know, Bush, the rhinos, the last true conservative we had was Dwight Eisenhower. Balanced the budget, deported illegal immigrants. Get the fuck out of our country.
Excuse me, Steve. Sorry.
Bad word.
I'm sorry.
But I am just the rhinos, and it's just what happened to before 9/11. Before 9/11, things were totally I don't think we'll ever get this country back to the way it was before 9/11. Everything is race this, race that, blacks against whites. Marco Rubio needs to run because we need to embrace all the illegal immigrants. They're depressed.
Well, yeah.
It's just this country, it's just not the same that I grew up to. It's just not.
Right.
Not,
yeah,
not.
Same here.
Well, you know, you made a comment about illegal aliens and the Republican Party starting to, you know, to take that narrative, which is a bunch of crap because Reagan let a bunch of them stay here. And the next president came in behind him and barely pulled 35% of the vote from Hispanics. It is a cultural programming. It doesn't matter how much you give them. It doesn't matter how much you abuse the Constitution for a race. It doesn't matter how much money you give a race. It doesn't matter, you know, whatever that voting bloc race, whatever your excuse is, when you abuse principles, doesn't make them like you better. People want the same thing. When you look in a family and you have a man and a wife and kids in that household and you think about what makes that family healthy and what you try to do for your children, you know, for your children and how you want to raise them up so that they can, you know, perform and prosper in life and be a decent adult and a decent human being and have a good marriage and, you know, all those wonderful, you know, apple pie and white picket fence, you know, concepts. You know, none of what the government does equates to that. The government violates every principle of prosperity there is. And here's the argument that just drives me nuts from liberals, is this whole thing about capitalism. What this country does and what Romney and Obama's backers, same people, and all this crap, this crony capitalism is not capitalism. It
right.
is corporatism. It is
which is another side of socialism, right.
It's a socialistic process. It has I've been a free
corporate
enterprise
socialism.
Capitalist my whole life, and nothing that Romney or those people on Wall Street does has anything to do with what I have to perform as a small business owner, you know, I don't know how many, I think for a year and a half I didn't cut a wage for myself to keep my employees going. When the economy crashed, I guarantee Romney crashed companies and still made money. That would never work in the capitalism that I live and breathe every day, what made this country great. What those people are doing is socialism, using the government and using that damn Fed. You know, it all boils back to the Fed. I'm doing a whole timeline series all the way back to the Civil War forward. What Lincoln did. And how and the things that occurred with going from these United States to the United States, that whole transition from state sovereignty to centralized government and tying that all the way back to the founding fathers and what they put together, you know, and the balance of powers and how that was circumnavigated in that whole series after the Civil War through the end of the century that led to the formation of the Fed in the 16th and 17th Amendment. And that period of time in this country was what gave us what we're living today. Go ahead.
Steve or Shelly?
Yeah, it's sad, man. It's just, you know, people, and for all the crimes of the banks, if I was in office, all the crimes, if I had my way and I was a dictator of this country, for all the crimes the banks committed, we're going to do debt cancellation of everybody's house. There is so much fraud they've committed on this country, so much destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Let's everybody's debt free. And then and we just press the damn reset button on everybody. Some people will call it socialism to do that, but the Fed has robbed the American people so much over 90-something years. You know what? To hell with it. We're all debt free. Let's just press the damn reset button. Let the banks try to kill me if they want to. I'll have some good libertarians protect me. But let's just press the damn reset button. To hell with these bankers, man. They've robbed our families. People have lived, worked all their lives, die in debt.
Right.
It's a disaster. This is an economic disaster. All because some stupid bank. And they don't. Bankers don't produce anything. They just sit behind a damn desk and get money from the Federal Reserve and loan it back out. Big damn deal. You're not producing automobiles and manufacturing, farming for food. You're not saving lives behind a desk of a damn bank. All you're doing is lending out money you were given by the Federal Reserve. And Big Pharma, too. I'm pissed off at Big Pharma, too, because they destroyed a lot of lives, too. Medication is $1,000 a month for seniors. What the hell?
Right.
You know, I cured my own asthma using Holistics. I woke up in 2007. Kevin Trudeau came on TV with the Natural Cures, so I bought the book. I'm like, what the hell is this guy talking about? Kevin Trudeau, I learned a hell of a lot about this, just the Holistics, and it's been so good, organic food, and I got off my asthma, lost weight, learned that sugar, the reason it's promoted everywhere, is because they want you to kill yourself. Sugar is every. Look at the kids. Like you said, the kids are fat. And
so
Facebook,
population
Twitter.
Control,
Call of Duty, Facebook, Twitter. They can't get their homework done. And then we blame the teacher. It's not the teacher's fault. It's the parents' fault. The teacher's job. And I wish liberals would understand that. Liberals about the state, the unions in the government. Teachers, you need to understand. Teachers are not there to raise your child. That is the parents' job. If your child is failing in school, you need to look at the parents. The parents aren't doing their job. There's some black kids grew up in the poorest neighborhood, made straight A's, went on to Harvard, and became upstanding, productive citizens of society. It has absolutely nothing to do with the teachers look at your damn child and the parents who are raising them. I don't know if you guys agree with me on that, but
I totally agree with you. My son is going to turn 7 here in a couple of days. Big birthday party for him next weekend. Long story.
Oh, great.
Yeah, he's 7. He's doing far better than I when I was his age. He's reading really well. He does Legos. He just loves them. He wants to get a for his birthday. He wants to get the Millennium Falcon, which has got, I don't know, 700-800 pieces. He'll have that done in a few days. And I have worked with him. I have encouraged him, motivated him, and I was, of course, would read to him every night. I still read to him every night, sometimes from the Bible, sometimes the animal stories. But we also sit at the kitchen table and we pull out a dictionary. And he likes this. And I say, what letter do you want to read? You know, just pick a letter. He'll say, oh, L. Okay, let's look up something. He says, lion. Okay, so I read the definition of lion. It's just a couple words a night. And he likes it. And he told me he likes to read. He's getting great grades. He's well-behaved. Kids like him. I just, you know, I cannot tell you how much hell I went through to be here for him because of a divorce, long story. But where I live, it's very poor. The clients don't pay. They don't have money. They haggle with my fees. But I went through hell to be there for him. I could have left somewhere and made $150,000, $200,000 a year as an engineer. But no, I've chosen to pour myself into my son, and it is so absolutely rewarding. And I'm going to guess, Steve, that you have kids too, and this is how you've raised, you know, you've been heavily involved in your kids. Is that kind of your story?
No, I don't have children. I'm only 28 years old, to be 29 in January. I'm waiting, you know, until I find a woman, you know, that I want to be with and marry, and then we'll go about our business. But it's just, I'm just so tired of it. It's always somebody else's fault, no matter if it's somebody in poverty, somebody's not getting a straight A in a class. It's a liberal culture of it's everybody else's fault. Even look at the Israel situation. It's 8 million people in the middle of 600 million Muslims. Oh, it's always Israel's fault, and every Israeli is a billionaire. It's just, I don't know where the hell this mindset. Every Israeli is not a banker, is not a billionaire, is not a. Every Jew is not rich, trying to conspiracize and take over the whole planet. It's just a disaster. And the media, the left media, is all over the damn place. I can't. The ABC, CNN, MSNBC. Constantly running their mouth. Everybody's a racist. I mean, it's like they want a civil war. It's like they're really trying to get a civil war between all the racial groups so that the United Nations can come in and clamp down on everybody.
Yep.
Got 180 million gun owners in the country. And it's just a disaster. Before 9/11, you couldn't have told me the condition of the country would be as it is today. I would have told you a lie.
Mm-hmm. They sure took advantage of it, didn't they?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Well, this whole concept that we're living today, I did not expect to see this at my age. I knew it was coming, and I didn't expect it to be quite the shape it is. You know, some of the strategic games. You know, NDAA. I've done a lot of research and. A lot of historical study, trying to piece it all together, looking at those crunch points and the people that made the decisions to move our country in the direction that we've gone. And I think for some of us who comes from a Republican background, you know, that Bush really woke me up. And then I started doing a lot of research, and I say this stuff all the time because I'm always doing research and coming on the shows and we talk about stuff, but you know, everybody cries about Agenda 21, and I keep telling Republicans, I'm going, who in the heck do you think started this stuff? His name was Richard Nixon. He was a Republican, and it was called the EPA, you know, and they bitch about Planned Parenthood and all the money and, you know, murdering babies and blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, well, who do you think started that? Nixon. You know, I just think that. And this is the gentleman that was on earlier. That's why I kind of got like going, why are you coming at me like I'm some kind of Republican? Because I don't like Republicans either. You know,
right.
The bottom line is I have enough. And the key is educating yourself, not spitting out. You know, he kept saying, you know, Fox this, Fox that, you know, and you're sounding just like Fox. And I'm thinking he sounded like every liberal radio or program I've ever heard, you know, because I've listened to both of them. In other words,
you got to be like Fox, right, Chris?
yeah. You got to pull your head out of the sand, and you got to step back and educate yourself and understand what the original intent of our founding fathers was. Why did they build the country and set up our governance the way they did? You know, with the federal government, you know, with the two houses and the presidency and the judicial. Why they had senators were appointed versus being elected by the public. You know, by the masses. Why did they set up the state governments? Why were they set up? Why are counties so important? And understand why they set up a lateral and a vertical balance of power to prevent a centralized government from taking over every aspect of our lives. They were learned men. They didn't have television, the internet, and things like that. But they sit down and they had the history of the world to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And to look at what, you know, the Republic of Greece that fell, the Republic of Rome that went through the process of becoming a democracy and then an oligarchy and then falling, overextending itself in wars. Because, I mean, Rome, you know, that's how they got rich, was wars. I mean, all you got to do is study Rome and you can see everything that we're doing wrong. You just got to get away from, you know, they were dressed funny. They wore togas and had wild parties. You got to look at the structure. You have to educate yourself and quit being a pundit repeating, you know, what your side, left versus right, right versus left. You got to get out of that. You got to step back. Study Ron Paul. Study that concept and understand why, what the Fed is and what fiat money is, and then all of a sudden you get free. And when you get free, you don't sound like a programmed, you know, bot that listens to your side or the guy that listens to that side. All of a sudden you see the world differently and you realize that you got traders on both sides.
Well, Chris,
you know?
Kelly here, one of the things the Romans did, blood for plunder. I was watching the History Channel and
it's huge.
Discussed. Yeah, I just one of these Caesars decided he wanted a bigger temple than the other Caesars, so he sent his army to invade a country and get the plunder. It's blood for plunder. But one thing that the founding fathers were studied, learned men. But another thing, the motivation. I mean, the powers that be right now, they're very studied, learned Harvard grads, skull and bones, whatever. They're very learned men, but there's something the founding fathers went through, and it was pain and suffering and tyranny. Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Continental Congress, approved of this, of course, in the Declaration about the tyranny of King George. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is now hiring mercenaries to finish his work of death. They were blasting him in the Declaration of Independence. They stand on their own death sentence, but they said, look, we've suffered enough. We're done. So they took their intelligence in their suffering state, and they said, we do not want a country to ever go through this again. We will put in so many systems of accountability, 10 ways past Tuesday, the checks and balances necessary so this tyranny cannot be repeated. It was their suffering that caused them to give us this great thing we have.
Well, I think it was suffering with wisdom, though, too, Kelly, because we're suffering. People are suffering today too, and they bow down and think Obama's going to save their life for them. So if you know, and I used to say this when you know dealing with my son, because people never could understand how we could be when my son was in a critical condition or in a coma for a long time. People would look at us like, wow, you guys just seem so normal through this process. And I go, well, number one, I have a lot of faith. And number two, you know, I know that suffering, we're all going to suffer through life. There's going to be tragedy. There's going to be turmoil. People are going to die. People are going to get in accidents. There's going to be, you know, tragic medical conditions, things that happened to my son. I go, but what I have control over is how I react to it. I choose not to suffer through the tragedy. And that's a key thing. We don't teach wisdom anymore. We don't teach critical thinking. We don't teach faith. We don't teach people how to see past their circumstance. You know, it's that whole blame game thing. You know, I don't have this, and it's George Bush's fault, or it's Obama's fault, or it's that guy's fault, or the teacher's fault, or, you know, whatever. Everybody's always busy blaming. Nobody looks in the damn mirror anymore.
I know.
You know, and that foundational, that teaching was a process that we learned. Now, whether or not you're a Christian or not isn't the point, but it's found in religious doctrines. You know, it's that self-examination. It's looking for the good in the bad. It's seeing past the circumstances, you know, looking into the future, faith, you know, in something not yet seen. You know, and well, the problem with this country is in that term hope. Hope is not the same as faith. Hope is a very weak emotional reaction. Hope is a result of faith, but we turned it into hope and change. We've turned it into this guy's going to get me what I need for my life versus somebody saying, you know, somebody's going to open the field of play and then I can go out and live my life and chase my aspirations and dreams. I can follow my faith. But I can get back up because I was the one that made those decisions to fall on my face. It wasn't the other guy. It was me. I took that risk. I fell down, and I'm in an opportune society where I can get back up and start over and get back to where I was very quickly. But you can't do that anymore. We've got a system where when we fall, it's very difficult to get back up because the system is so much against us. There's no freedom anymore.
No.
Sorry.
That's true. That's true. Steve, it sounds like you want to chime in on some light. Yeah, go ahead.
No freedom, and it's sad, and I might have to do a radio show, you know. Just try to do as much as you can,
wake the dumb liberals. You know, liberals used to fight for civil liberties, and the TSA, you know, I remember I called into the Washington Journal, you know, the TSA sticking their hands in babies' diapers. Guys are just keep letting more and more. And, see, you know, the United Nations, that's why, see, they're liberal because they know all these conservatives are not going to allow these type of things to happen to this country. And so they chose to support the left because they know the right. And that's why I think, you know, if something, war does start, they'll probably try to airstrike the rural counties of this country because they know the big cities are majority liberal. It's, the technology is so strong. They can control so many people with it.
Yep.
And it's just, it's hard out here. But, if we weren't paying federal taxes, if we were, you know, prosperity would be there. And it's always capitalism fault. The rich man shipped jobs overseas, you know, and we know that. That was a part, I think that was a part of the plan. Because the elite wants to make it seem that they are against the little man so that the little man votes in communism, fascism, because the elite can control us more with communism and fascism than they can with capitalism. You know, they create the situation, people respond and vote for hope. I don't give a damn about hope. I'm about seeing results.
Hope there you go.
Something new. Hope
just
is something.
Get out of my way.
Back to ex-girlfriend.
Well,
to hell with hope.
I tell you what. If you do a show, Steve, just let us know about it. We'll definitely talk about it. See, I'd be, you know, the more I consider myself a conservative, but the more conservative libertarian voices out there, I think the better, because I think folks can no longer, and I think it was a mistake for folks to rely on folks such as our news, quote-unquote news or conservative, our so-called conservative organizations such as Fox News, because I think Fox News and people such as Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity really did a disservice to their listeners by pointing them in the Romney direction, which I think, we all know how that turned out. So I think that the new media, the new alternative media, I think is going to be media such as Blog Talk Radio and the Internet, because people could do their own research and they don't have to take the word of someone else to make it appear that they have such as like a conservative or a liberal, seeing it through that lens. When really it's not. They just have their own special interests that they're doing.
Well, hey, Steve, I wanted to throw out something to you, if I may. I really like your what you're saying. That's why I diverted some time. I am time to let you speak. But I would encourage you to, find a Blog Talk Radio you like. Call in every now and then. Maybe somehow you'll end up being a guest panelist, and then
there you go.
You know, because what I've been on, I did call in some radio talk shows, and then I wrote a book, and next thing you know, I'm a guest panelist with Robert and Chris, and I've just gotten really comfortable with it, if you will. It's just, I want to call it practice. You know, I feel like I'm talking with friends, and it's a comfort level, and so, I would encourage you to work that direction.
Yeah, I know what it is. We don't have enough black conservatives speaking out. It's like we're almost silenced. Yeah, the left is just, and so I'm constantly fighting family and punching them in the head every time Obama's name comes up. And it's just, man, and the left, they made the excellent calculations about nominating a black guy as president. So they knew all this. Oh, he's a minority. He must be for the poor. You know, it's just, it was
insane.
Back in 08, I didn't even vote for Barack Obama. I was telling people, this is hype. I remember CNN, he's the Messiah. He's the one that's going to fix it.
Well, remember when he gave this big speech for his nomination, those pillars, make it look like he was some kind of like Greek god or something. It was in the Denver Stadium or something like that. They had it like, it was like a Greek or Roman kind of setting.
remember people making a comment on that. But yeah, I agree with Kella on that. Yeah, yeah, you're more than welcome to on other nights to call in. And there's so many things that you know, we talk about wanting to do on the show, like, you know, talk more about the Constitution and, you know, and things of that nature. We kind of have, like, you know, educational shows where, you know, we put out information that you're definitely not going to hear from the mainstream media or the so-called conservative media, because I really don't think that they really have conservatism in their best interest. And you make it another good point, Steve, is where you're talking about there's, you know, not enough black conservatives. Is, and you probably, and you said through your family, and you'll probably deal with a lot of, you know, denigration and stuff like that because you are a conservative or libertarian.
Yeah, I pick them apart clean, like Peyton Manning picks apart teams. I pick them every time. The Democrats are for the poor. Food stamps, who does that benefit? It benefits food manufacturers. I wonder if they're lobbying Congress for more food stamps. I pick them clean apart to the point where they lash out in emotion. To me, it's about emotion. The logic, yeah. There's no
man,
logic.
Man, you're right there. You're right on track with this show, man.
it's about emotion, man. It's about, I want more stuff. I have children. It's not my fault that daddy wasn't there. Well, you knew that daddy wasn't going to be there before you even had the child. You knew he was a bum before you met him. It doesn't matter. I want my food stuff. I want, you know, just arguing with aunties and people living off welfare and the welfare queens, and just to the point where you're just like, okay, I'm going to fight liberals, but I'm going to call into conservative talk shows. I'm going to talk to these guys, and we'll have a good time talking about conservative issues. And it's getting dangerous out here, man. I mean, the government, TSA, and all this, they're really getting us comfortable with sticking their hands wherever the hell they want to stick them. And it makes me nervous, because next they're going to be like, hey, here's an RFID chick. Stick this in your brain. Stick this, you know, and it's like, you know, everything of, you know, Book of Revelation, I don't know if you guys go to church, talks about the mark of the beast you can't buy or sell. That's a liberal culture. That's a liberal government enforcing that law. And conservatives would never, you know, and the Bush, and yeah, Bush comes up, but we just got to throw Bush under the bus. Romney, you know, he's got to throw Bush under the bus. But see, Romney, he was not a conservative. Look, he did Obamacare in Massachusetts.
Exactly. He hit the nail on the head there. Definitely.
And they only won by 500,000 more votes. Romney would have won the White House. It's, they act like, look, we should give up our entire lives and lay down the liberalism because he won, the president won the White House by 500,000 more votes in the swing states only. In the Sweden states, 500,000 more votes. I'm not laying down because we're a constitutional republic. We're not following the Constitution. I'm not laying down to a damn democracy. Half the people vote, the other half in slavery. And so, you know, Alex Jones also woke me up. Very influential, Ron Paul. You know, people are working hard to pay what all these damn taxes. Our houses could have been paid off a long time ago. Car loans paid off.
Wow.
We're busy paying the damn government, like Ron Paul. We're busy letting them spend all our money while we're sitting here looking stupid, die in debt, and never get a hit, can't pass anything down to our family generational wealth. We're busy paying for, I don't want to cuss. We're busy paying for losers in our society. Why should I be middle class? Why should I have gone to college? Why? So that I pay more money? Does it really benefit me that I make more, that I'm in that income bracket where I'm going to pay federal income tax? Does it benefit me that I'm actually a productive member of society? Or should I just, I'll just be on the government, though? And they don't understand that. They can't argue with them on that. They just, liberals can't do it.
Hey, Steve, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions here, or at least my observation. And I have several black friends, and I think one guy, I just want to follow him around like a mouse and learn everything I can from him. And he used to push boxes in a warehouse. Now he's a multimillionaire in real estate. But just the way he is with people is just beautiful. But he mentioned this, and others –
in the black community are missing this too. The Democratic Party seems to be pushing down through social programs, and when I think about it, when I'm pulling my own weight and I run my own business, when I'm pulling my own weight, I have dignity. And I see the Democratic platform, the liberalism of, you know, the social services and whatever, I see that as robbing a man of his dignity. And that, to me, is a crime.
Absolutely. That's the liberal culture. It's not your fault, your poor. It is not your fault.
Mm-hmm.
It's Bush's fault. So we're going to print up all this money. Bernanke is going to sign the paperwork. We
mm-hmm.
are going to support you because it's not your fault. Now, did Bush play a part? Yes. But think about, look at the unemployment in the last 12 years. A lot of this started with the dot-com bubble. And like the previous gentleman mentioned,
mm-hmm.
the Federal Reserve, they just kept propping up the bubble. And then when the bubble pops, oh, no, we have to have a new bubble. We have to have a housing bubble. And see, what the people don't understand, it gets worse and worse as you keep printing. Now we're going to have a destruction of the reserve currency of the world. That used to be the United Kingdom. They used to have the world reserve currency in the 70s. They destroyed their own currency doing hyperinflation, promoting socialist agenda. A lot of people don't know, before the United States had the world reserve currency, it was Britain, the UK. They had the world's reserve. They lost it and never got it back. We gained it in the 70s. Now we have the world reserve started in the 70s. So now, if we lose it, guess who's in line to get it? China.
China,
they are
yeah.
not. They're not a Christian nation.
What kind of world will it be?
Exactly. And they're building 1,000 airports. They have the most gold mining facilities
mm-hmm.
in the world is done in China. Who's in line? We go from white supremacy to Asian supremacy on the earth. And that could fulfill the Bible. Because you think the Chinese are going to support the Bible and Jesus Christ? Absolutely not. They're going to send missionaries all over the world promoting Buddha and
well, they're already starting in Africa. They're already starting in Africa. Chris, I know you've done some research on this. Is they're already over in Africa trying to, you know, get up land to, you know, curtail their population, taking up all the space over there in China. They're looking to move on to, you know, different pastures, so to speak. And they're really looking hard at Africa.
Yeah, but let me not to correct you on your own show, but it's not just about population. China's pretty big. They got room.
Well, that's a big part of it.
What it is people, Africa has got some of the largest reserves of diamonds and what
that's
they
true.
Call high-tech minerals. You
mm-hmm.
know, when we talk about this
uranium
minerals, yeah, all the stuff that we build our jets and our, you know, that can handle the heat and the temperatures, the flex and stuff, you know, I mean, it's amazing to me, but, you know, Africa is such a rich country, but it's such
mm-hmm.
a mess. And you wonder why more. If you ever listen to, I don't know, Steve, if you ever listen to LaRoche, he has a site called LaRoche Pact. This guy's like 90 years old, and he's brilliant. And he covers, talks about stuff around the world that nobody talks about. But, you know, there's so much of what going on in the world that people don't understand. There are so many places that are being held back.
Right,
you know, you look at Africa.
Well, speaking of that, I just want to interject this. We only have about, you know, 10 minutes left, and I still have to do the closing rites. Yeah, 10 minutes. Is speaking of China and Africa. Remember that doc that I was going to get to you, that I was going to email. That's exactly what it's about. Is about the China, you know, moving into Africa. Because someone brought me some information, some links. I wanted us to do some
well,
research on
move,
it. I definitely want to do some
take over
on
the
it.
World. They're going to take over the world. I mean, that whole Lindsay, you know, Steve made that comment about Alex Jones. Alex Jones interviewed, I don't know, Steve, if you listened to the Lindsay Williams interview, and because I figured you had, because you started talking about the trade deals, China, Japan, China, South Africa, China, Russia, China, the United Emirates, China, Brazil, on and on and on.
Exactly.
And they
said, liberals are talking about some dumb money. Obama, their whole time over there doing whatever they want to do.
Their whole system, they're set up now to trade deal oil with Chinese money. That system's
absolutely
in place.
Yeah.
And people don't get it, but we're in trouble.
That's devastating.
And Obama's going to lead us to the next war, and that's what I get a crack out of liberals. You know,
exactly.
Obama's a warmonger, man.
Exactly, and they don't understand that while you're sitting here talking about $220 trillion of social programs because the baby boomers are retiring every day, China and these investors that's holding what, $8.7 trillion in gold, that's the entire world. Gold is worth $8.7 trillion. They don't give a damn about the baby boomers retiring. If they think your currency is worthless, they're going to get rid of it. They don't care about 10,000 baby boomers retiring every day. People don't get that. China's not going to wait. Alan Greenspan was on CNN last week talking about the market is not going to wait for us to get our finances together. So we're jumping off the Sears Tower at the same time. What do you want to do? If you lose the world reserve, you're losing 25% of your standard of living. Or are you going to continue to just print money? We're exporting inflation all around the world. We're exporting inflation. What are you going to do? They're not going to get their entitlements regardless either way it goes.
Oh, yeah.
So you might as well cut spending and get back to common sense.
Let me ask you a question. You said 25%. I'm surprised. You heard that from Greenspan. I'm surprised he didn't say 50% because that's what I've looked at. Because we've already lost 20%. I mean, we haven't even.
I hope you're wrong.
Well,
but if it's that bad, we are going to have like a civil war in this country.
No, but you know what?
I mean, it is going to be so
bad. But I don't think Americans have a heart because you look at what they're doing to us in airports. You brought this up. We are being conditioned to roll over. 47% of the people on, or 50% of the people on some form of social service as it is now. And it's bigger if you look at college and all, you know, anything you need to get ahead has got U.S. government attached to it. So it's really, you know, 80% of our society, we're already programmed to roll over. And here's another thing to add to your studies. There's about $3.5 trillion of pre-tax 401k type investments out there. The government's going to take that because it's money and it's solid liquid assets. And what they can do is they can take that money, throw it in their coffers to buffer up all their bad decisions, and then they turn around, they print it, and then they stick it back in an account. You know, it's all made out of thin air anyway, right? And then they just give you like 3% interest gain on it, and it's like they treat it like another Social Security account, even though it was your money. They will seize that money. They've already discussed it several times, and it's been turned down, you know, not couldn't get enough people to go on it, but it gets bad enough, they're going to seize that damn money.
Yeah, you think the Chinese workers are going to continue to live in slavery-type conditions? They're going to protest. They're already doing it in millions. And eventually, their wages are going to rise, just like America's wages did. And eventually, the Chinese are going to demand a pound of flesh. We can't deliver. We can't deliver a pound of flesh to the Chinese. Manufacturing is where the wealth is.
Yeah,
so
right.
You know, we're deindustrialized and high-tech tyranny. Look at the cell towers. I remember somebody was talking about this. Birds dropping out the sky and honeybees dying because the cell towers are interfering with their brain waves. If they're interfering with honeybees' brain waves, you know those cell towers must be interfering with our brain waves. So it's eugenics, and then the chemtrails. So you just see it, and liberals are so focused. Obama is the biggest distraction I've ever seen in a lifetime. We can't get a damn thing done until he is out of there. He is a huge distraction. We've got all these issues going on. We talked about China, TSA, and we're busy arguing about Obama.
Very good point, Steve. Yeah, we've talked about that many times, you know, on the show. Like, there's just so many, more things to talk about now. To just give a little background on
on the show, and then with, you know, Chris and many of the others who come on, is originally, I've been doing the show for about 5 months, but originally it was during the primary, and I was a Newt Gingrich supporter, and we've seen what all happened, you know, happened there, and what the Republican Party, namely the establishment in the RNC, did to, you know, Newt Gingrich and his campaign, as well as, you know, Ron Paul, you know, in his campaign and things of that nature. And then it just kind of evolved to that we start talking more about third parties and things of that nature, Libertarian, Constitution Party. We've, as Chris and Kelly could tell you, interviewed a lot of Constitution Party candidates. We had the opportunity to interview Virgil Goode and Jim Clymer, who were the presidential and vice presidential candidates for the Constitution Party. Great folks, some, you know, really great folks. Those two gentlemen, you know, as well. And we recently interviewed Robbie Wells, who's running in 2016 as an independent, trying to get a coalition of, you know, the grassroots folks, independents, conservatives, libertarians together. You know, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, but under the same banner of going up against the duopoly of the Republican and the Democrat parties. But I see that we've only got about 4 minutes left. So what I like to do at this point is give each – well, I don't even have enough time for that, because I know that always cuts me off. And so thank you, gentlemen, once again for coming on. Thank you again, Steve, as well. Especially, you know, coming on, we invite you. I'm sure Chris and Kelly, you know, all three of us like to see you come back and talk with you again. Yep. And, you know, we'll go over other things. So if everyone just wants to take 30 seconds as a closing statement, then I'm going to do what I always do at the end of each show, and that is to play the song by Aubrey Ashburn as the closing music. Go ahead. We will start with you, Chris, and then we will go to Kelly, and then Steve, and then I'll close things out. Thank you very much.
All right, I'm going to go real quick. Steve, call back in. He does shows like Sunday through Thursday. You got you also have the Tex and Rex show on Sunday night after this show, and these guys are awesome. And also, if you're out there on Facebook, find my group Coalition of Freedom, and let's hook up and friend and connect so that we can continue this conversation and build, you know, liberty-minded, constitutional-minded people. That's what our goal is. I'm done.
Thanks, wow. Chris. Kelly?
I wanted to ditto what Chris just said. Yeah, you know, Steve, you've been a breath of fresh air, and please do call in and friend me on Facebook, Kelly Z. Mordecai. I'm just glad we've all had this chat, and I look forward to many more.
Thanks, Kelly. And Steve, we'll end it with you of the three, and then I'll close things out.
I appreciate you guys. I just had to get so much built up frustration I've had to release on this show, and I'll be calling in the future, guys.
That's great.
Hit you up on Facebook. And we'll continue the conversation. It's been a great show, and just had to release a lot of stress.
Well, that's good. I'm glad we're able to provide that. Take care. And thank you to the audience, everyone, for coming in and listening to the extra hour of Bard's Logic Political Talk. And as I said, I will end this song or this show with the song I always end with, and I invite you, Steve, to stay and listen to it until the show shuts off. And this is by Aubrey Ashburn, and you can also hear more of her music on www.aubrey, A-U-B-R-E-Y, Ashburn, ASHBURN.com. Take care, everyone. Good night, and hope to see you again.
Good night, guys.
Good night. Good
night.
love.